Good morning. I will call our city council meeting to order for May 22nd, 2019. Welcome one and all. We will begin with our invocation, and then we will ask Mr. Callahan to lead us in the pledge. We will also be starting to pledge to the Texas flag, too. So we'll do that. And our invocator this morning is Pastor Gardner from the Way Fellowship Church in District 4 of Ms. Arnold. The pastor has served in ministry for over 20 years. He's been the senior pastor of the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas for 8 years and the overseer of the Church of Terrell for 5 years. His authenticity and transparency has allowed him to transform many lives in men and women across the nation. He believes in building a church within a developed, strong leaders, and he's a father of two, a husband of Pastor Stephanie Gardner, who's an entrepreneur and a partner in life and ministry. All rise. Thank you, Pastor Gardner, for being here.
Good morning, everyone. Father, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I ask you to forgive us our trespasses as a city, and I ask that you would bless our mayor, our city officials, our law enforcement agencies, and all the citizens of Dallas. In your name, we pray. Amen.
Mr. Callahan, you had one brief introduction.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mayor. And I want to thank my colleague, Mr. Lee Kleinman, for also helping me advocate this issue to get the Texas pledge. I think that's very important. You know, we're very proud of our state. I also wanted to make some just general comments because this is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day is coming up Monday. Observe Memorial Day. So every year, people across the city of Dallas and indeed the nation remember and honor persons who have died while serving the United States Armed Forces during Memorial Day. This year, it falls on May 27th, but I'd like to say a few words about it today. Memorial Day's roots stretch all the way back to the years following the end of the Civil War, when people across the country had spontaneous events to lay wreaths on the graves of more than 600,000 fallen soldiers, both Union and Confederate, who had fallen during the war. Texas ranks among the states that have the highest number of active duty and reserve members of the military with over 164,000 people. It's likely that many of you here today have a personal or familial connection to someone in the military, like me, be it a mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, or an uncle. During this time, we come together to reflect and honor the fallen regardless of the circumstance. As we honor those who have passed on, I'd like to honor our current service members, active duty, reserve, and retired who served, including those currently working for the city of Dallas. So this time, if you're a veteran, just please stand up. If you're a veteran of the military. And if those City of Dallas employees would remain standing, Verge, I'd like to just call on those. It's the Veterans Employee Resource Group. And we have, first and foremost, we have Katina Robertson. She is the president here on the left. We have Sonia Lipsey-Smith. We have Rafael Arredondo, Brenda Sparks, Charles Jackson, Melinda Harris, Gerald Larry, Benita Swinters, our president emeritus, Eric Santillan, and again, President Katina Robertson. Verge is partnering with the Dallas Symphony on Memorial Day event at Flagpole Hill. The concert begins at 8:15 p.m., and it will be followed by fireworks. And I encourage everybody to come out and attend. That's on Memorial Day evening. So, Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Verge.
With that, we will take our open mic. Yeah. With that, we'll take our open microphone speakers.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. This morning, you have three registered speakers. They'll be William Hopkins, Marvin Crenshaw, and Chelsea Eggenberg. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Rollins only. Also, if you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my left and your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker is William Hopkins.
My name is William Hopkins. Mayor Rollins, what she's been handing out to you is the same paper she's been handing out to you for 7 years. I'm going to go over this again. What she's handing out to you, Mayor Rollins, is the first sheet is what the City of Dallas notifying the people of West Dallas they was not involved in the RSR lawsuit. The city wasn't involved. It was between some attorneys, and the city wasn't involved. That's the first sheet. All y'all got it. You've been having it. Ms. Gates, you got it. Okay. The city been telling the federal government been periodically asking and talking to the city about the people in West Dallas that when the city sued, the federal government was supposed to look over us and make sure this whatever happened with the lawsuit happened. So the city writing to people and tell them they wasn't involved in the lawsuit. The second sheet you have, Ms. Gates, everybody, is where the city sued the RSR lead plant. The city been lying to the federal government around about 25 or 30 years, Ms. Gates, telling them that they're helping the people in West Dallas. The second sheet is where the city sued Casey Thomas was the mayor, and Tanya Atkins was the mayor. They was sitting in when you weren't here with Mayor Rollins. By them being black and your family owned slaves, I told them the same thing I've been telling you for the last 7 years. I said, Casey, the blacks dying in West Dallas, and here the lawsuit where the city sued and lied, and here go to where the city sued Casey, you and Tanya, and they sit there by them being. But your family owning slaves, they sit there and let us die. So I figured out what done happened. Is they so afraid of white people, or else they want to be around white people so much that they could sit there and let blacks die. And I've been wondering why all the rest of the city council members won't say nothing. I don't know if the federal government, I don't know if they know the federal government been asking about us, and they know, and so they got to keep quiet to help the white race. I don't know how this going, but everybody know blacks, whites, Hispanics, Omar. Omar is over West Dallas, he's Hispanic. But they moved the whites, they moved the Hispanics out of West Dallas. So Omar wouldn't care about the blacks that's dying. He haven't said nothing. They already moved the Hispanics, Mayor Rollins. They moved the white people. The media, I got on here, fake media. I'm signed up for the fake media. The media won't say nothing because they white. Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 11, they know they moved the white people. The media know. It didn't say nothing. They know they moved the Hispanics out of the projects in West Dallas. Everybody know. But won't nobody say nothing. You, Mayor Rollins, your family owned slaves. I don't know if the media, Channel 4, Channel 5, and the Dallas Morning News know. They white, bigoted, racist. They know. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hopkins.
Marvin Crenshaw, not present. Chelsea Eggenberg.
My name is Chelsea Eggenberg. I'm a United States Navy veteran and a proud transplant to Dallas. I live in Cullen County, City of Dallas, in the 3rd Congressional District. In April of 2019, I was riding with a volunteer organization called Hunger Busters, helping to deliver bagged lunches to food insecure children of the City of Dallas. When we pulled up to the side entrance of N.W. Harley Elementary School, located in the 12th Congressional District, I noticed a filthy mattress lying across the street of the school entrance. I was told that that mattress had been there for at least 3 months already. I waited a week, and on May 6th, when I returned to the school, I noticed the mattress was still there. I contacted 311 and was told the mattress would be picked up within one business day. On May 8th, I contacted City of Dallas 311 again, and they explained that the address I gave them was for the school. I gave them for the school, and they could not find the mattress. On May 8th, I contacted City of Dallas again. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got a little lost in my letter. Okay, I gave them the address for the school. They said they couldn't find the mattress. If the person looking for the mattress had just walked around the school, they would have seen it, which means someone probably just drove by. I received a confirmation email on May 8th after I called 311 again. The email was for Streets Village. Then, within the same day, I received a new email saying my request would be changed to Street Repair and that it could take up to 45 days to complete, which means these children were going to end the school year with this dirty, filthy mattress sitting on the sidewalk outside of the school entrance. Our children are basically being told, you're not worth cleaning this street up for. These children leave school, walk home, and have to walk past a filthy mattress every single day. We are molding minds for the future in these educational institutions, but we cannot care enough to clean up their surroundings. What does it say to these Dallas City residents when no one cleans up their streets? It says, we don't care. You're not worth it. Well, I care, and I think they're worth it. These children are our children. On the 9th of May at 9 a.m., I received a phone call from a Dallas City worker who was looking for the street repair. I explained to him that it was a mattress that needed to be removed. He then explained to me that my request would have to go through a different part of the department. That afternoon, I went to see if the mattress was removed, but instead, a cone with the words, Public Work Department, was shoved in front of the mattress. I called 311 and explained that putting a cone in front of a mattress is not solving the problem. That means the money every citizen pays into this public service went to having someone come out, place a cone on the ground, and steal this mattress remains. I received another email from 311 saying street repair is working on my grievance. On May 13th, when the mattress still remained, I called again, and 311 saved my request as a legal dumping. Maybe this would finally be the magic words to get rid of this mattress. On the 15th, I called the City of Dallas City Manager's office because I felt I was not being provided adequate service through 311. My request was saved from 311 as litter, and that could take up to 45 days to complete my request.
Thank
Can I stop?
Yeah. We've got it. We got the story.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Yeah. Mayor, I was going to ask if 311 could visit with Ms. Eggenberg and kind of figure out what happened. What a mess. If you would visit with her, I'd appreciate it. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you.
This concludes your morning speakers. We'll now move to your voting agenda. Agenda item 1 is approval of minutes of the May 8th, 2019 City Council meeting.
Another motion and second. Any discussion edits? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Before we move to your consent agenda, we have three individuals who have signed up to speak on consent agenda item 22. Those speakers will be Shonda Butler, Curtis King, and Kim Noltemy. Will you please come forward if your name was called? You'll each be given 3 minutes to speak. We'll begin with Shonda Butler.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To our mayor and distinguished council members, thank you for this opportunity to come before you today. My name is Shonda Butler. I reside at 2849 Gospel Drive, Dallas, Texas. Thank you again, and I have the privilege to speak to you today on behalf of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. It's about its benefits to the greater Dallas community. I am a music educator serving the students of Jimmy Tyler Brashear Elementary School in Dallas ISD. Over the past 12 years, I have had the opportunity to involve my music students in the many enriching programs provided by the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. These programs include the Youth Concert Series, the Young Strings Program, the Carnegie Hall Link Up Interactive Concert, the Music Memory UIL Contest, and the annual Saluna Festival, and there are many others as well. During each school year, my students, along with tens of thousands of school-aged children, are afforded access to refined musical events of various genres, from jazz to opera to the many classical symphonies. I can best speak to you from my own personal experiences with some of these programs to helpfully point out the irreplaceable value of this organization and its facilities. I teach at a Title I school, which serves students of low socioeconomic backgrounds, most of whom would never otherwise experience these cultural gems. The main offering of for the students is the Youth Concert Series every year, in which the educational department of the DSO and members of the orchestra teach and demonstrate certain instruments or families of that performance group. Each year, the Meyerson Symphony also hosts the Dallas ISD Music Memory UIL Contest, where hundreds of students sit on teams from many DISD elementary schools to compete by naming the titles and composers of 16 classical pieces performed live by members of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, along with the orchestra and the choir from the Booker T. Washington High School for the Visual and Performing Arts. These students are totally immersed in analysis and enjoyment of this complicated music they would normally only hear in recordings. Another outstanding program provided by the DSO is the Link Up Interactive Concert. They're featuring a curriculum from New York's Carnegie Hall. All of these enriching and refining experiences are afforded to our students who would no otherwise have any access to these. And for this reason alone and many others, we are hoping that the council will see the benefits of allowing the Dallas Symphony Orchestra to use whatever means they have available to them to maintain these facilities in order to continue to enrich our greater Dallas community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Curtis King.
Good morning. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Curtis King, founding president of the Black Academy of Arts and Letters. The late President John F. Kennedy once said, "I look forward to an America which will reward achievements in the arts as we reward achievement in business and statecraft. I look forward to an America which will steadily raise the standards of artistic accomplishment and which will steadily enlarge cultural opportunities for all of its citizens. I look forward to an America which commands respect throughout the world, not only for its strength, but for its civilization as well. And I look forward to an America which will not be afraid of grace and beauty." In the mid-1920s, almost a century ago, a group of Dallas visionaries gathered to discuss the importance of the arts and to preserve and promote some of Dallas's early performing and visual arts history. From a series of those discussions, they concluded that if a city was to grow in public stature and in business, the arts and entertainment need to be a part of it. Believing that Dallas is the can-do city, those city and civic leaders and the philanthropic donors worked to put together a city bond issue in 1927, which passed, providing $500,000 in city bonds for building and equipping a new museum facility. Just think, had those city civic and philanthropic visionaries decided not to forge and foster what was necessary and important at that time, we perhaps would not have the kind of artistic landscape in Dallas for arts institutions and artists to thrive and grow in one of the most beautiful cities in the country and world. Just think, had those city, civic, and philanthropic visionaries decided not to forge and foster what was necessary and important at that time in 1927, we perhaps would not have the kind of venues for Dallas patrons and tourists to experience some of the city's finest museums, theaters, galleries, cultural centers, and concert halls like the Meyerson Symphony Center, a place where the Black Academy of Arts and Letters presents its annual 2-time Emmy Award-winning Martin Luther King Jr. concert. What about our children in the city today? We need the support. We're here today with you because we too want to be revered as the kind of corporate partner to make the best and most thoughtful decisions to continue the legacy set almost a century ago by Dallas citizens, city leaders, and patrons. As different as we are, it is that difference which allows us the opportunity to create, to vote, for what is best for all of Dallas citizens, and more importantly, continue to partner with those of us who are artists, arts administrators, and leaders in this growing, diverse city. President Kennedy said, every accomplishment starts with a decision. It is our hope that you will support the continuation of this legacy and this proposed agenda item. Thank you.
Kim Notami.
I'm Kim Notami. I'm the CEO of the Dallas Symphony. I live at 222 Browder Street, just a couple blocks away. I would just like to ask you today to vote to allow the Dallas Symphony to manage the Meyerson. Help us make this building the icon it should be in Dallas and in the United States. I'd like to give the rest of my time to two of our young string students who spent many, many hours in the Meyerson.
Good morning. My name is Shada Parrish.
And I'm Diana Zavala.
We stand before you all today as alum of both the Dallas Symphony's Young Strings and Teen Council program. I started the Young Strings program after hearing about several students who were actively involved in it. I, as a result, wanted to be better, and my parents saw that as well. Auditions were coming up very fast, and my parents knew this would be a great opportunity. Once I made it through the first round, I was assigned to Shomei Pelletier, who became my violin teacher through high school, but she also became much more than that. She would teach me life lessons, and she would preach about the value of hard work. Through workshops, master classes, recitals, and competitions, this program prepared me for all of it. The students and teachers became family to me, and I will forever be grateful to them. And the Teen Council program, I, along with an entire team of motivated teens, were able to put on a concert where we selected the music they played. The kinds of hand-on experience for me was very monumental. This was a concert where we decided what the musicians played. We decided what they wore. This program strengthened my social skills significantly, and my point of music was broadened. Both of these programs have changed my life, and I would not be the same person I am today if it were not for them pushing me. The Dallas Symphony program does beyond their part in the community, and I come to you today filled with gratitude and a strong appreciation for all that they have done for me and continue to do for people like myself and future young teens.
I have been a part of the young
teens. Ma'am, could you just pull the mic down a little bit? Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was a part of the Young Strings program for 8 years, and since then I have finished up my first year of undergrad at the University of North Texas in music education, and I will be a teaching artist for the new South Dallas teaching program by the Dallas Symphony this summer. Young Strings encourages many young people of different socioeconomic backgrounds to pursue a college degree, something that many kids coming from minority communities like myself consider to be a luxury, when the reality of today is that for many of us, college is a crucial step for the realization of our own personal legends. Young Strings pushes us to take up space in places that lack diversity and showcase our excellence. Throughout my 8 years in the program, I not only cultivated an abundance of musical knowledge, but I also found my second family. Many of the students in Young Strings face hardships while in the program. I myself lost my father my junior year of high school, but I thankfully had my Young Strings family to pick me right up. Young Strings makes sure that no student falls through the cracks, and if they do, Young Strings community is there to reel them back in, provide support, and empower them through the power of music.
Thank
I am
you.
Eternally grateful for the Young Strings program.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you.
This concludes your speakers on this item. We'll now move to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 46. There was no addendum consent agenda items. Consent agenda item 13 is being pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Agenda item 17 is being pulled by Councilmember Clayton. Agenda item 25 is being pulled by Councilmember McHugh. Agenda item 36 is being pulled by Councilmember McHugh. Agenda item 37 was deferred prior to the meeting by Councilmember Narvaez. And agenda item 38 is being pulled by Councilmember McHugh.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
I move to suspend Council Rule 7.11A regarding deferral and and hear agenda item number 37. This motion was made by the Government Performance of Financial Management Committee on Monday, May 20th, and it was supported by myself, Mr. Griggs, Ms. Grayson, Mr. Kleiman, and Mr. Felder.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Let's vote.
Please start voting. 11 members have voted. 13. 14 have voted. 14 members have voted. 15 members have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members McHugh, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Council Member Gates, Felder, Kleiman, Mayor Rollins, Council Members Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. Voting against, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members Clayton, Narvaez, Kingston, and Griggs. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
So we'll put it back on the consent agenda.
So agenda item 37 has been added back to the consent agenda. I'll restate the consent agenda. Your consent agenda now consists of agenda items 2 through 12, 14 through 16, 18 through 24, 26 through 35, 37, 30, and 39 through 46.
We have motion and second discussion. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have some questions for staff on item 22, the agreement with Dallas Symphony Association regarding the terms of the agreement. Hopefully you have these answers because it's legal. My specific questions are, in the terms of the agreement, this is a 99-year agreement, what are the outs or what is the ability for the city to terminate that agreement in the event there's non-performance?
Most importantly is it has a reverter in it, and they must always serve the purpose, which in this case is primarily geared towards classical music presentation. And if they fail in that, we could revert and take back the property. There is a 45-day warning and a 6-month cure period.
So the reverter is the only out that we have?
And then they would be, or if any default. So they have a commitment to raise $5 million and spend the $5 million within the 10-year period. Mm-hmm. And if that were not to occur, that would be a default, and that would go into the cure period.
Okay, and then long-term, if they fail to maintain the building?
If they don't maintain the building, they would again be in default. That's all in the terms of they must maintain
it. So what kind of terms would cause a default so that the city could – what kinds of things would cause a default so that the city could cancel this contract and get control back?
If they – I mean, yes, I think so.
Mr. Kleiman, Connie Tankersley with the City Attorney's Office. So staff has put in a lot of opportunity for default because they've built in a lot of performance measures. They've created a lot of restrictions, a lot of things that the Dallas Symphony Association has to provide to the public. Okay. For example, a number of performances, I can't, 150.
150.
So there's a lot. So the City Attorney's Office has created default provisions.
My biggest concern, and the one I want you to see, tell me if you can specifically address, mm-hmm. is lack of maintenance on the building.
Right.
Because that is going to require that they raise a lot of money and continue to raise money for 99 years. Because as we know, and I mean our fault, I mean we have not been maintaining the building as needed. So if it falls back into that state of repairs, can we get this building back?
So under this agreement, we are transferring all the maintenance obligations to them. And it's basically working as a sale, but it's a lease. And under 253 of the Texas Local Government Code, we can do a 99-year lease. We didn't sell the city's interest to them, but with regard to all the obligations that the city now has, it will now become the Dallas Symphony Association. Now, the staff has created a certain maintenance subsidy for the association for a certain period of time.
Right.
Jennifer can explain further on that. And to the extent there's any bond monies that have been allocated to the actual building, staff has created the mechanism by which those bond monies will be utilized for a certain period of time. After that, the association is 100% responsible for the entire building.
And are there specific maintenance criteria?
Yes, there is.
Agreement?
Yes.
For example?
For example, they're responsible for all maintenance of all the HVAC, everything, the bricks and mortar and the grounds.
Okay. And is there a requirement that they maintain a sinking fund or some kind of a reserve or something like that for maintenance?
No. There's that mechanism where the surcharge, the ticket surcharge. So you want to explain that?
So one of the best practices across our industry that has not been in place at the Meyerson until very, very recently is a facility fee where $250 per ticket is put into a fund that is a pay-as-you-go approach. It is in place at some of our other facilities, but it's just in its early days at the Meyerson, and that will be there in the future.
And that's a freestanding fund subject to audit. That's a freestanding fund subject to audit.
Yes.
So this, when the city audits the Meyerson, we can see, yes, they've been collecting that on every single ticket. Here's how much is in the fund. And then they've been spending out of the fund to maintain the thing. And we'll have complete transparency.
That's right. And the grandfather groups as well have been, there's certain notices if it were to ever change to protect those small music groups, which is important too.
And if they don't collect that fee, is that a default?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. And Mr. Kleiman, as you know, one of the reasons we're doing this is the city has done a very suboptimal job of maintenance. We'd probably lose the contract. You know. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with what you're asking. I think it's very good. That's the reason. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I received a call from Mr. Meyerson yesterday, as I'm sure many of us on council did, who said to me, I don't think anyone knows more about this building than I do. And I was like, I'm pretty sure you're right about that. And he was very, very much in favor of this agreement, as I am. And I've been working on this for months. And it has been an extraordinarily ambitious proposal by the Symphony. It will be a challenge for them. I don't think any of us think that we signed this agreement and everything is suddenly right with the Meyerson. But what Mr. Meyerson and I both agreed on yesterday is that the board of the DSO and Kim particularly are positioned in a way to really make this work, and we're excited about the level of talent that is being brought to bear on this issue. And so, to the board, to Kim, we have high expectations for you. In the event that we ever have any hiccups, you have our confidence. We're going to stick with you through the term of this agreement, but we do expect great things. The reason we expect great things is because we think you have the capacity to deliver them. So I'm excited about this. The Meyerson has been, when you are privileged, as I am, to represent an area of the city that has so many wonderful city-owned assets, it comes with a degree of worry that's kind of interesting. There was no capital plan for any of this crap when I showed up here. That's startling. We really have done a very poor job of planning for the future, and this is a significant step in rectifying that failure. So I am committed to not just signing this agreement. There will be capital needs in the future that the city should also participate in. So don't think that we're signing this and casting you off on your own. The city has been the critical partner in the construction of the Meyerson and in the operation of the Symphony for years, and must remain so if we if we as a city want to have this sort of cultural richness in our arts district? I think the answer to that question is yes. And if the answer to that question is yes, then we simply must also pay for it. And I will commit to help do that. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. You know what? I think, Mr. Thomas, you want to talk about something else on the consent agenda. Who wants to talk? While we're in the, you were talking about the symphony? All right. Let's, Mr. Callahan, why don't we take you next?
Thank you very much. Just starting from the top, I want to thank, you know, obviously Ross Perot Sr. originally had this idea. So if you'll name this after my friend Martin Meyerson, I'll contribute a lot of money. So that's what started this. It's interesting, the other day we had the North Texas Commission meeting in the Martin Meyerson. Unbeknownst to us, the architect, the great architect, I.M. Pei, had died. But we want to honor his legacy. And I just think it's kind of Wilford Brimley talked about, you know, oatmeal in the morning. That's just the right thing to do. You know, I think this is the correct thing to do. And Kim Noll to me and Debbie Pena, thank you for your great management ability. And I know you're going to have a great board that's going to move this thing forward. I think it's going to be a very positive movement for Dallas. And we've got some bond funds to start with. I think the ticket fee, of course, is going to, I think, cement that ability for us to make some of these maintenance improvements. But it is a beautiful building, and I know it's going to give you a lot more flexibility in terms of symphony concert dates and so forth. So I just see this really as a win-win all the way around, and certainly you'll do a better job than our city has done. I regret to say that we haven't kept our part of this bargain, but going forward, hopefully with future bond campaigns and the other, the facility charge, we'll be able to make those positive improvements. So congratulations and good luck to you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to talk about the symphony? Were you saying you were going to talk about symphony, Mr. Felder? Please.
Yes. I appreciate the symphony creating a new program for the children. At the MLK Center, they brought forth a program that gives instruments to the children in South Dallas and then teaches them how to play those instruments. That is a rich cultural improvement and a much needed benefit to the community. So I appreciate the symphony making this step to become more diverse and to share with the community and edify the community. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, on the same line, I just want to thank Kim and Devin, you know, Highland Hill Library, Jay and their elementary school, for y'all to reach out to the community for the first time to look at those kindergartens and first grade to play an instrument and from the first chair to teach them. That's something we've never done before. Kim, I applaud you for reaching out across the border on the southern part of Dallas to make sure that there is a opportunity. You don't have to come downtown to the Meyerson, but the Meyerson will come to the community. And as a symphony have been coming to Paul Quinn College for the last 7-8 years to play there. Thank you for your outreach, and also thank you for the whole symphony of what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Another subject, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of points I wanted to make. Number one on item, what's over 21? We'll put our elders first. I'm really excited that we have the opportunity to honor and put forth a plan to honor our seniors, those who've made it possible for us to even be here. This is a comprehensive plan. It's going to be a lot of work going forward. I know the Senior Affairs Commission, I see Chair, she's there, and so many other members. Those who are on the Senior Affairs Commission, just raise your hand. And we thank you for your service, Mr. Johnson, who's my appointee, who's a vice chair, and your advocacy. We wouldn't be where we are with this plan if it wasn't for you. I appreciate Mr. Brodnack for having a full council briefing so all of the council members could see this plan. And so I'm excited and look forward to seeing, being here and helping to implement it. second thing I wanted to bring up is item 20. I think it takes foresight to say, you know what, when we live in a city that was once number one for all large cities when it came to child poverty, and we're moving quickly down that list because of the work of my colleague, Councilmember Clayton, former Chair Regina Matari, and the mayor having the foresight to create a task force on poverty. This will help to alleviate poverty on so many families that are impacted by it as relates to library fines. So I'm glad that we're going to be able to move forward on this, and I think it'll make a tremendous difference when we look at how our families who are impacted by poverty will be able to benefit from the city services that are provided by our libraries. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Ms. Arnold.
Excuse me. Thank you. I would just want to just give another kudos to the senior since you mentioned the case, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem Thomas. Wanted to make sure I acknowledge the commissioners who are here, but for Mertis Evans, who represents District 4, want the council to know that she has asked me to give a little bit more push to many of the programs that impact seniors in our community, and she says she's ready to go and ready to roll out, and she just needs more power from us as a council so that she can see the benefits of their work a little bit more in District 4. So I appreciate her for her work and, of course, all the senior commissioners, but I did want to make sure I put that on the record because she hemmed me up in the corner to make sure I understood that she's not working for naught. Thank you for everything you do, Ms. Sims. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 13. Agenda item 13 is an ordinance abandoning a portion of Fitzhugh Avenue to Westdale Buena Vista LP, the abutting owner, containing approximately 6,562 square feet of land located near the intersection of Fitzhugh Avenue and Buena Vista Street, and authorizing the quitclaim and providing for the dedication of a total of approximately 6,201 square feet of land needed for an open space and trail easement and public access easement. This item was pulled by Councilmember Kingston.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as you're leaving, could you kind of just be a little quiet so we can keep doing the work? Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Motion approved.
Second, Mr. Kingston.
You all have been distributed a correction to the language. I'll offer it to Mr. Kleinman as a friendly amendment. I move to approve the ordinance with the following change. Section 10C of the ordinance is amended as follows. Provide a 6-foot sidewalk along Fitzhugh Avenue with 5 feet landscape buffer as described in Section 11. Section 11 of the ordinance is amended to read as follows. That as a condition of this abandonment and as part of the consideration for the quitclaim made herein, grantee shall construct and complete a 6-foot sidewalk and 5-foot landscape buffer within Fitzhugh Avenue right-of-way, except for that portion west of the proposed driveway extending westward to the Katy Trail overpass in accordance with the terms of the agreement. Failure to complete the sidewalk and landscape buffer shall render this ordinance null and void and of no further effect. And sections 14 and 18 of the ordinance are amended to remove reference to section 11.
Mr. Kleinman, you accept it?
I am, of course, inclined to accept that, but can you just give me a brief description of what we're changing here?
It just clarifies their obligation to provide the pedestrian amenities that were part of the deal. That,
okay.
Honestly, the ordinance that got posted in the original agenda was just kind of screwed up.
Absolutely, I'll accept that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And whoever second? Okay, so you accept that? Thank you. With that... motion and second, no discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Agenda item 17 is an ordinance abandoning a portion of an alley to Kyle P. Kraft and Amanda L. Kraft, the abutting owners, containing approximately 1,444 square feet of land located near the intersection of Northridge Drive and Hillbrook Street, and authorizing the quitclaim. This item was pulled by Councilmember Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Motion to approve.
Second, Mr. Clayton, I think you have something else, though.
Thank you. May I ask staff questions, please?
Yes, please.
Also, is the applicant here by any chance? Oh, hi. By the way, if you have a security system, I'm the guy who was stalking your house this morning, so I apologize. But it is a beautiful home. So the reason I had pulled this was I had had some concerns when I was looking at the drawing that there was an alley there. But when I went and looked at it, there's actually going through their property wasn't a concrete alley. It was just an alley easement in case we wanted to put one. So it kind of went a roundabout. So my other concern was, and I think you clarified this, they had already built their pool and had already built their garage, or not garage, their, it's not an outhouse. What's the term?
Pool house.
Cabana, whatever. So was that done in the right-of-way? Was that done outside on their property? Did we ever figure that out?
Good morning, Mr. Clayton. I'm Chris Wecker, Director of Sustainable Development and Construction. They actually built on both sides of the paper alley. So as you mentioned, there's not an actual alley there. So the property owners own the property on both sides of that. They received the appropriate building permits, the appropriate pool permits, the appropriate fence permits, and they've built around the alley to this point, as far as we're aware.
Great. When I had originally pulled it, I was just making sure we weren't getting into a business where, you know, it had already been built, and then we pulled permits after the fact because of how it goes into the alley. So everything's good. I'm in favor of it, but I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 25. Authorize, one, the acceptance of a continuum of care grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for the City of Dallas's Gateway to Permanent Supportive Housing Project in an amount not to exceed $739,943 to provide project-based rental assistance and case management for single chronically homeless persons for the period October 1, 2019 through September 30, 2020. Two, an assignment of the COC grant to the PWA Coalition of Dallas, Inc., DBA, Aid Services of Dallas, as recipient grantee in place of the City of Dallas under the grant agreement. And three, execution of any and all documents required for the grant and grantee substitution. This item was pulled by Councilmember McGue.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Second. Approval.
Second. Thank you. You want to say anything else? No, Mr. McGue.
Okay, I'd actually make a motion to defer this item to the next agenda.
Second.
Oh, okay. You accept that? Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, okay. We got anything. So that's been accepted. Do you have anything to say? Please.
I do. thank you, Mr. Mayor. Really, this is just a continual plea. As we look at properties where we're going to include these programs, as I've said from the very beginning on this one, since March, just in the last 45 days, we've had four shootings, plus the manager on site was murdered. This is a problem property. We need help. We have continued to, I mean, we've done everything we can do as it relates to just generally awareness and trying to make this place safe for the people that live there, including the members that are involved in this particular program. And it's not getting any better. So we're working with our partners at the federal level and part of Project Safe Neighborhood, local. We need additional help with code and police. It is it's just unacceptable. And what the biggest problem with this property, as I have repeatedly expressed concern, is the sheer size, the number of units. We've got to figure out another alternative. We're working to get a meeting with the property owner as we speak, and if we have to get a group of us to go to New York to meet with them, then we will. But this is a really, really rough part of the city, and it's as I've continuously represented in these tag areas and on these risk properties, is not where we should be hosting these programs. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question for Mr. McGoo. So maybe staff needs to answer this as well. So this grant is for three different properties. Is that correct? Which property is the one you're concerned with?
I'll defer to them. There's actually two of them, both the same vineyard properties.
So is this correct? The vineyards at Forest Edge, the vineyards at the ranch, and the Way Apartments. And the Way Apartments are in South Dallas, right?
That is correct.
Right.
The Way are in Council District 3.
Okay, so the vineyards, those are the same property?
There's two separate buildings. It's the vineyards at Forest Edge and the vineyards at the ranch.
And that's the one you're referring to. So how many, there's seven, we're subsidizing 70 units. How many units are in those two properties?
So the overall program, the Gateway Program for Permanent Supportive Housing, is for 70 units. We currently have 54 tenants who are residing in those units. For those specific properties, that we have 37. For the two in Council
District 10,
37
total. Okay. And then the rest of them are in the Way.
Correct. We have 17 at the Way.
And is the Way in Mr. Atkins' district, or is it Mr.
They're in Mayor Pro Tem's district.
Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. Thomas's district. So you don't have, do you have any issues with the program that's in your district or not?
No, I haven't heard anything.
So it sounds like it's this property, Mr. Magoo, right?
Correct.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for looking into it.
Thank you. Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I ask Mr. Magoo a question? Mr. Magoo, thank you for bringing this to our attention. And, you know, public safety obviously is always our biggest concern. So I'm intrigued. But I just want to know the things you stated. What in 2 weeks makes a difference that we're going to be able to change in public safety on these properties by not voting on this today? I just want to know what 2 weeks, you know, how are we changing it?
Ms. Broadnax might answer that.
Okay.
You want
to? I just as long as somebody can answer it.
Thank you, Councilman. And we are definitely attuned to Councilmember Magoo's concerns. And one of the items that we've got to go back and address with the provider is some language that we did not include in the agreement that will look to request that they transition some of the clients in this program to other facilities to try to disperse that throughout the city before they engage in releasing at that particular property and or others, just to ensure that, in fact, we don't concentrate issues in areas. So that's language that was not included in the current agreement that we want to work with the vendor to include.
So this is more staff missed some language, and then we want to correct this language going forward.
Correct.
Is it because we know whom the individuals are that are just causing all this havoc, or is it that?
It's not directly related to these individuals. This is an issue, I think, again, as Councilmember raised a year or so ago about the types of properties that we look to place people in our own programs in that are already having some concerns, to ensure not just that they don't create additional concerns, but also to not put those individuals in harm's way behind a city-sanctioned program. So we're going to look to try to, again, make sure we're assessing properties more correctly, working with the various partners that Councilmember Magoo mentioned, but also in our process of our third party, which used to be done by the city. We want to ensure that they look to make aggressive moves to ensure that they are looking to disperse and put these individuals and others in high opportunity areas and put them in various projects or programs or properties throughout the city.
And then my next question is on public safety. What are we going to be doing to help this area? I mean, this is very concerning if we have this many individuals living in a completely unsafe area. What are we doing as a city in order to help these individuals out, so that, you know, because changing where they live obviously helps one, but number two, what about all the folks that get left behind?
So, Councilman, I think that's something that we're addressing or trying to address in every district that has similar problem properties. As you've seen, I think, in some of the conversations that we've had around public safety at some of our properties, our DPD, as well as particularly if there are housing authority related properties, we're working more closely with them to try to bring about better conditions. We're working directly with property owners, our community prosecution, as well as code enforcement and DPD. When they get to a certain point, they go into our risk program, which adds a separate layer of things that we require from property owners. And so, again, I think as Councilmember Magoo said, we've got to continually work with as many partners as we can and the owners to try to find ways to improve the conditions of their property. So that's something we're doing. I think this particular property, I think the council member was concerned about, one, just the size of them. And so I think, again, as he said, we may want to reach out to the property owner and see if there's any alternatives to deal with that particular issue.
Okay, thank you, Mr. City Manager. I will go ahead and support this delay because the city manager mentioned that there's missing language that needs to be changed, and I hope that we can step up and do something to help these individuals when it comes to DPD helping this area out. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 36, authorize supplemental agreement number 2 to increase the service price agreement with Good Earth Corporation in the amount of $1,376,241.91 and T. Smith's Lawn Service, LLC, in the amount of $652,187.76 for litter maintenance services for the Park and Recreation Department, and to extend the term from May 29, 2019 to May 29, 2020. This item was pulled by Councilmember McGue.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Move for approval.
Second. A motion is second. The discussion, Mr. McGue.
Could I just get some staff from Parks, please?
Good morning, John Jenkins, Parks and Recreation.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Jenkins. Thank you.
Good morning.
First question is just, can you just help explain the impact that this particular item will have? How will these resources be deployed?
Oh, yeah, this is for our litter contract. And so this is for the supplement so we can make sure we continue the contracts to provide litter services where they provide about, on average, 4 days a week picking up litter throughout the parks.
Okay. And does this have anything additionally to do with the just landscaping maintenance of some of our parks and other facilities?
Are you speaking as far as the landscaping?
Right.
No, this is strictly dealing with the litter.
Okay. Okay. The reason I pulled this is, of course, I'm going to support it. The issues I've just been having, and you're intimately aware with some of them, dealing with just the maintenance of our parks and trails generally.
Yes.
I'm just getting constantly beat up by first Moss Fields, the issues we have been having there, and with numerous, as we pretty much all of our parks across at least my district and some that I've seen across other areas have not been well maintained. And my hope was that this would help address that. And I guess my question to you after those comments is, what else do we need to do? What are we missing? How come we're so far behind and getting appearingly worse?
Yeah. So you're speaking of the in particular in your area without discussing the very details. However, you are aware we have made some staff changes because of their failure to uphold their duties in that district.
Okay.
And you will see a difference in the quality of the maintenance.
So the answer was just staff failure. Is there anything else that we're missing or additional?
Besides the fact that we're dealing with the weather right now. I mean, it's a challenge right now with all the rain, with all the flooding. Yes, we're behind on our maintenance, make no mistake. But the team has put together what we call a recovery plan. And so you're going to see a lot more staff out there deployed. They will be on overtime. But we understand because of all the rain, it has really affected kids having the opportunity to finish their athletic play. So our goal is to make sure we can get these fields up and running. So our patrons can have the opportunity to utilize the parks.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas?
Thanks, Mayor. Hey, John.
Yes.
Quick question. What is the rotation in terms of when they're, you know, you said 4 days a week,
mm-hmm.
In terms of which parks are at, you know, how is the determination made of which parks they're going to be at, when they're going to be at those parks?
Okay. All right. Well, each park's our 400 parks, of course, there's different categories.
Uh-huh.
And so you have our highly utilized parks, like our spray grounds, like our recreation centers. And those will get picked up, you know, like our spray grounds. They have to get picked up like 7 days a week because we accumulate a large percentage of trash daily. And then you look at our rec centers. There's a lot of high traffic areas in our athletic fields, so we have to pick up the litter more frequently. But something like a natural area where there's less frequency, of course, those parks may get picked up like maybe like once every 5 days, once every 7 days, mm-hmm. as far as the frequency. So when you look at our mowing schedules, they're going to be anywhere from on average 10-day mowing cycle to a 14-day mowing cycle to a 21-day mowing cycle.
All right. Thanks, John. Can I get someone from Public Works?
Somebody from Public Works? Back there.
Morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Mayor.
Najee Delgaffrey, Assistant City Manager.
Quick question. I'm aware that we have a public works contract as well. It's a real simple question. What are the areas? Are you aware? If not, you can have someone else come up. The areas that they're responsible with that public works contract for cleaning, and how often are they supposed to be doing that?
It's typically for medians, and we have a scheduled cycle. I believe it's either 6 times a year or 9 times a year.
Can you give me a copy of that?
I'm sorry, sir.
Could you give me a copy of that?
I will do.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 38, authorize an agreement with Big Thought and the City of Dallas Park and Recreation Department to provide after-school services as phase two of the Wallace Foundation Partnership for Social and Emotional Learning Initiative in partnership with the Dallas Independent School District. This item was pulled by Councilmember McGue.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Second.
The motion is second. Discussion, Mr. McGue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Really just a praise. I see Byron Sanders was in the audience today. My main question was, and we have talked about it, but is to make sure as we look at all these programs assisting our, especially our youth, that we continue to work with RISD as well as DISD. And I guess, Ms. Ross, if you could address that.
Thank you. Crystal Ross, Assistant Director, Park and Recreation Department. So for the record, I do want to reiterate the conversation Councilmember McGue and I had. And we've learned from our partners at Big Thought that RISD, they are in discussion in regards to moving forward with the SEO initiative. Okay. So you can anticipate seeing some programming there.
Okay. And will that be a future item on the agenda, or how does that how will that be addressed?
Well, at this time, our agreement is with the DISD sites that we currently house our after-school programs. And so that's where Big Thought and us partner. But currently, I don't know that I can say that we're moving forward with a partnership with Big Thought and RISD. I think that's pretty premature at this point.
Okay. Well, I would just ask that we push forward with that as much as we can, and that to the extent I can help or facilitate anything, please let me know.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Great program, and I know it's making a difference in our area. I've advocated for 6 years for more after school as well as summer programming to give these kids, particularly latchkey kids, something to do. And Wave, Big Thought. I know we got a few folks out there. So thank you all very much for what you're doing for our kids, and we just need more of this. So, but thank you so much for Dallas Parks, you know, for helping staff that those opportunities. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Yes, thank you. Can you tell me which recreation centers will be serviced in District 4?
So this particular initiative is what's taking place at our after-school sites that are located on DISD campuses. And so the schools in your district, I believe we have Russell, and if I'm not mistaken, it's Bud. But definitely Clinton P. Russell, which is right down the street from Beckley Center.
So this goal is to move forward using the same sites?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
All right.
It's an enhancement of what we're already producing, conducting over at the center sites.
All right. And this is, I want to just put this on the record in terms of accountability, because we see a lot of programs that are offering as after-school initiatives, and we need to begin, and I'll add and talk with you offline, but we need to begin requiring, and we will do that, a feedback in terms of the clients that they're serving and the successes that they're seeing or not seeing. Just we need some feedback so that we could give information to our constituents. I realize they're saying there's no cost consideration to the city, but there's always some cost consideration to this city when you come before us to ask for our support. So I did want to put that on the record. We want to see results, and we want to get feedback, and then if there's a way we can support it with other foundations and philanthropic support, we'll do that. But I did want to put that on a record. We need to know if the program is actually working and benefiting us. And I can say that mostly because I am an educator and I do understand performance. Thank you.
And I think that's one of the beautiful part of our partnership with Big Thought is that there is a requirement for an assessment to be conducted. So we will have data to provide you.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes, just wanted to ask a question. What schools in District 7 are you servicing?
I believe Silverstein and Bales Elementary are in your council district, sir.
Okay. Is there any room to add any other schools?
Well, at this time, no, because this is our pilot process. So for the next three years, we're going to be working to make sure that this program is rolled out and it's effective. We have the quantitative results that we need to add additional sites. Okay. So at this time, we're not adding additional sites.
Can you talk about some of the programming?
Some of the programming in regard to
the services.
Sure. So, again, it's a typical after-school program, but the difference with the SEL sites is that these particular sites will have additional training, professional development for our staff to be able to roll out programs that are directly around conflict resolution, responding appropriately to different situations. What else should I be adding? Self-control and management. Okay. So there are a lot of things that are going to help get our kids ready for life-changing decisions later on in the future. So building them up and making sure that they're pretty stable.
And when will there be an opportunity to add additional schools or to switch out the schools that you have for schools that I think may be need more help?
Okay, I'd like to invite Greg McPherson from Big Lot to answer that question
Thank
for you.
You.
Good morning, Greg McPherson, Big Thought. So the sites that were selected were done in collaboration with Dallas ISD and were selected based upon criteria provided to us by the Wallace Foundation and the RAND Corporation, which is producing the evaluation of this work. And so the sites are locked in for the next 3 years. The tools and resources and learning that comes from this initiative, our intent is to replicate and scale that more widely after the initial pilot initiative is concluded.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Crystal, if you could just get us a copy of the schools that are in each of the councils, so each council member will have to ask
Absolutely.
You that. And then Byron, if you can, Mr. President, if you could come down for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being here. Just introduce yourself, and then also just one question. I attended the event that was a Cafe Momentum when DSD announced the partnership for social emotional learning. As a former educator, I know social emotional learning is one of the biggest challenges that teachers are dealing with, and I think this is a great opportunity. But talk about your end of session evaluation, what that's going to look like, and the type of data that you'll be able to provide to the city that the council member, Chris, will be able to provide to the council members to be able to show the effectiveness.
Thank you so much, council member. My name is Byron Sanders, president and CEO of Big Thought. And just to give a little bit of context for this particular initiative, we do a lot of things in working with the city. The SEL Dallas initiative is part of a larger research study that's funded by the Wallace Foundation and six other cities across the country. The whole notion is to see what does it look like for a school and an after-school system to both have embedded in it social and emotional learning skill sets and strategies. So that's why it's a multi-year initiative, and the inclusion of the schools, as Greg was saying, had everything to do with working with the district, working with Wallace and RAND to identify what are the best places to build out best practice models. The whole notion is so that we can see what can scale, and not just scale, but scale well. Right. Social-emotional learning being one of the key assets that help young people deal with trauma, quite frankly, and the trauma that comes from many of the conditions that a lot of our young people are growing up in. But it's also something that's universally needed as well. And that's the work that we're doing. So as we're going through that, the data that's being collected is on measuring improvements in social-emotional learning with young people using specific tools in order to do that. CellWeb is one of them. We have a number of different other measures, but also using the traditional out-of-school time best practice models that we use called 6DQ and a number of others.
Excellent. That's fine. I just wanted you to give a chance to give the full council an understanding of what the program is, and you being the face and CEO, president of Big Thought, hearing it from your voice, what the expectation is. And so thank you. Thank you, Ms. Mayor.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Just last point. Clinton P. Russell is in the community of which I have my office at Beckley Sainer. And so one of the goals as I sit there in that community and work, we have to develop a stronger outreach.
Yes.
That is a strong bilingual Spanish-speaking community. And I'm working to bring them more into the center so that they can take advantage of the services we have. And so it would be very important to me to know that your program is bilingual and that you have qualified staffers who are delivering the services to that population. And we do have an outreach program that will supplement
yes.
what's going on at Clinton P. Russell and DISD. And we will be stopping in to just kind of visit with you. But I did want to put that on record because I keep getting that from my community. What's going on? Who's getting the information? And why are we not at the table? And why are we not benefiting from these programs?
Mm-hmm.
So I did want to make sure I put that on the record. Thank you, Mayor, so much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried. Thank you, Ms. Sanders, for all you do for this city. You're a great leader. Thank you.
We'll now move to our items for individual consideration. Agenda item 47 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There are no board and commission nominees for consideration this morning. However, in regards to the financial disclosure report for boards and commission members, in accordance with Section 12A-19G2 of the Dallas City Code, I am required to announce the following names of the board members who have failed to submit their financial disclosure report. Donald Payton, who serves on the Landmark Commission, appointed by Councilmember Felder. Mark Stevens, who serves on the RSV 4 Reinvestment Zone 4 Board, Cedars Area, appointed by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Derek Watson, who serves on the Reinvestment Zone 10 Board, Southwest Medical, appointed by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Pierre Jamar Moten, who serves on the Reinvestment Zone 13 Board, Grand Park South, appointed by Councilmember Felder. Athena L. Villarreal serves on the Reinvestment Zone 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, appointed by Councilmember Narvaez. Kyle R. Ward, who serves on the RZ 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, appointed by Councilmember Narvaez. Jonathan Braddock, who serves on the Reinvestment Zone 16 Board, Davis Garden, appointed by Councilmember Griggs. And Larry McGregor, who serves on the Trinity River West Municipal Management District Board and appointed by Councilmember Narvaez. We'll now move to agenda item 48. Agenda item 48 is consideration of appointment to the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Board of Directors for positions 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, one of whom shall be appointed as a shared member with the City of Cockrell Hill.
Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to follow the MSIS committee unanimous recommendation to appoint the following six individuals to the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Board of Directors for positions 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, with the term to begin July 1st, 2019 and expire June 30th, 2021. John Bertrell Killen, Patrick Kennedy, Michelle Wong Krause, Ray Jackson, Amanda Moreno-Lake, and Alicia Ruiz, who will serve as the shared member with the City of Cockrell Hill and a representative of the Transportation Disadvantaged.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We're
going to take up, we'll insert a couple of items here, item 5 and 6.
We'll now move to addendum item 5. Addendum item 5. Authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Chime Solutions, Inc., or an affiliate in an amount not to exceed $2 million for the establishment and operation of a new business process outsourcing center within the Redbird Mall located at 3662 West Camp Wisdom Road, pursuant to the Public-Private Partnership Program. We do have one individual who has registered to speak on the item, Edna Pemberton.
Not present.
Yeah. That concludes your speakers on that item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
So moved.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Atkins.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. You know, we've been talking about Redbird Mall and how we can get workforce solution at the mall and make sure the mall would be a place of work, sleep, eat, entertain, and how to build a quality of life. This company out of Atlanta, Georgia, I went and visited that last year. It was kind of amazing. There was a old shopping center and was sitting there, was kind of going blight. And this company had many employees there, you know, aged from 25 to 35 years of age, you know, paying way above minimum wages. What I saw there was not the backroom office, but also saw the energy of the mall. That just imagine you have 1,000 workers at the mall that can shop and eat and live there and without transportation, you know. And that's what we're trying to do at Red Bird Mall and what we did there. And I thank the colleagues for putting the infrastructure there and thank Peter Brosset. Sheila Wilson is the co-owner and the COO from Atlanta, and her daughter is the chief of staff. And I want her to come in to address this council. It's amazing that you see someone from Atlanta. We have Michael Russell came here, but these two fine young ladies that I visit, and her spouse, who is the other partner, could not come. He was in there in Atlanta trying to do a big contract with AT&T to bring more workers here. What they're going to do, they're going to bring 500 workers here by September 1 of this year, 500 workers here, and they're going to be making a minimum of $14 an hour. And a year from there, they're going to bring another 500 and train them, which will be making another minimum of $14 an hour. But it's not that. It's just the energy which they have. When I went there, and I just wanted Ms. Wilson to tell them a little bit about the business and the opportunity that happened in Atlanta. I mean, you sold me, and I saw what you did with that shopping center. Everybody was energetic. You know, you have great clients, AT&T, Sigma, you know, Fortune 500 company. That I think this is something that's really going to bring a quarter life around Red Bird Mall.
Before you do, Ms. Pemberton, it did show up. So, Ms. Pemberton, come on down, and you can speak in a second. If you want to speak. If you don't want to speak, okay, just waving. All right, good. Thank you. Excuse me, ma'am. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us this morning. I am Shelley Wilson. I am from Chime Solutions in Atlanta, Georgia, and this is my daughter, Lauren Wilson. We represent the season and the millennial perspectives of our company. Our company is a company that is focused on the employee, a total life program that we have for them where we're interested in their entire life, personal and professional growth. We are in the process of bringing 500 jobs to Redbird. We've had the opportunity to secure a client that has given us that opportunity to have jobs. The minimum that we are going to pay is $14 an hour. We think that we can be successful in Redbird because we've done it before. We've done it in Atlanta. We have over 1,500 employees that work for us. Same kind of model. We were in a old shopping center. We revitalized the shopping center, and we're happy to do the same thing and have the same opportunity in the Redbird area. We're excited about the opportunity and the fact that we even have the opportunity to come into the area. So we appreciate your support, particularly Councilman Atkins. We appreciate you all that you've done for us and the conversations that we've had with you to get us to this point.
Thank you. And with that, Mayor, you know, we talk about $14 an hour. We talk about manager, a pay from 40,000 to 55,000, support staff from 29,000 to 60,000. So there are a great opportunity for there to be there. Also, we have Peter Brosset here. Peter, you want to say anything? I got about another minute.
Good morning, Council, and congratulations, Mayor, on your final meeting. I want to explain to the council that when I first started this project, I actually told our office brokers not to bring me any call centers because this whole project is about aiming higher and it's about re-envisioning what this community is capable of and the amenities they deserve. But when I had the opportunity to meet the Wilsons and saw what they did, this is a profit-driven company, but it's a profit-driven company with a mission. And the supports that they provide the employees, Shelley's husband, Mark, who's the CEO, told me that he noticed that there was some absenteeism, and rather than just assuming that the workers were lazy, he looked in to find out why it was that they weren't showing up to work, and the answers were always an obstacle. So healthcare was an obstacle. They brought in healthcare into their facility. They've got credit repair, They pay living wages, and it's exactly the sort of jobs that we want to be a part of bringing to this community. So I appreciate your support in helping them get the training done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Wilson, Mrs. Wilson, and little Mrs. Wilson. This is a great day for Dallas. It's a great day for Oak Cliff. It's a great day for the Redbird area where I share with Councilmember Atkins. Congratulations, Councilmember Atkins. Colleagues, this is exactly what we've talked about for the almost 4 years that I've been here. How do we create opportunities that's going to provide a living wage and also going to provide wraparound services in a way in which those who work there can make sure that they have healthcare needs and other needs provided for? Courtney, we appreciate you. You don't hear that enough. We know you go all over the country and you work really hard. And so we appreciate your efforts in putting together this type of proposal. Whenever there's a situation where we're looking to invest in dollars, this is the type of opportunity that's almost a no-brainer. Mrs. Wilson, I've done some research. I've looked at a few articles on your company. Talk about the ambitious 10,000 jobs initiative that you and your husband have launched.
Sure. So what we have going on right now is a 10K by 2020. So we are committed to creating 10,000 jobs by 2020 in various cities across the country. While we're here in Dallas now, talking to you guys, we also have an initiative that is in Charlotte that we are going to open the doors of a call center in Charlotte in August. So those are the first two that are part of our expansion, and there's other conversations that are going on in other cities as well.
Thank you so much. I look forward to having an opportunity to sit down with you and sit down with your husband and talk about how we can be supportive. There are a lot of people that live in the city of Dallas and live, in just a few miles from the mall that can benefit from these type of career opportunities. I don't look at it as a job. I look at it as a career opportunity. And so I'm 100% supportive of this. This is exactly what, not to take words out of the mayor's mouth, but I think when you launched the Upper Growth South, this was definitely something that you had in mind. So thank you for that vision and that foresight. And so I'm 100% in support of this. Peter, this is just the beginning of other opportunities. I talked about, you being kind of like a pioneer and people saying, it's gold in them hills. Soon, people will see it's gold in them hills of Oak Cliff and the Redbird area. And because you had the courage and the willingness to see it as an investment opportunity, you're going to reap the benefits before anybody else does. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I ran into Mr. Brodsky this morning just on the way into City Hall, and he explained what he just explained to the council, which I think is really interesting because there are these businesses that have a bad reputation in terms of the way they treat their workers, and there's always a better way to do it. But I have to say, Mayor Thomas and Councilmember Atkins, I wasn't really worried about the job quality at Redbird because I know you all are watching it, and this obviously is just an excellent development for that real gem in between both your districts. So congratulations.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to compliment and congratulate my colleagues, for the great work that both of you are doing out there. I think it's just fantastic. Peter, thank you, and thank the company from Atlanta, for your participation and growing of jobs. That's where it all starts. You got to have jobs and economic development, raise the disposable income. That helps build the city, and certainly want to thank the mayor also for the Grow South concept. That was more than just talk. It is actually putting your money where your mouth is, and so we need more of that. I represent a community just to the east, so don't forget us. Come our way, Pleasant Grove, Texas. We're out there looking for the same economic benefits. But I think this is a great step forward for Southwest Dallas and Oak Cliff and Southern Dallas in general. Thank you.
Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to briefly say, one, to thank staff that I think this is such a fantastic use of how we're using our checkbook and from an incentivization standpoint, and also to Mr. Atkins and certainly to my friend Casey. I think this is so fantastic. I know with Casey especially has always advocated as priority this type of workforce and getting real wages for folks who've traditionally not gotten what they needed. And so I'm just really thrilled for you guys. And I also want to thank Mr. Brodsky. The more I've gotten to know you, I just feel like this project's in such good hands with you. And I think you're more about the community than you are even about yourself, and I really appreciate that about you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to first thank Courtney for putting this together. I spend a lot of time with him on different deals across my district, but then also on these other deals, and to see things like living wages be added in, which is very important, not just to me, but to our, you know, our entry-level workers and our middle-income workers. This is how we pull people out of poverty, is we pay them living wages so that they're not the working poor. And I want to thank Mr. Atkins and Mr. Thomas as well for including this in here and, you know, seeing why living wages are so important. I know they know why, but to see why it is important. And, you know, I'm still fighting for 15 and everything, but I'll take 14 because we're moving up, and that's a good place to be. And it also, you know, more than likely in your business model allows folks to have the opportunity for raises as they perform and help keep them working in your company. Overall, I think this is an excellent deal, and I'm very excited to support it. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Atkins.
Mayor, again, I just want to thank TC and also Courtney. You know, I know I give the economic staff a hard time, but for them, you know, to come through, I'm going to apologize to them, you know. But ECO, you know, they have been working hard, and they learning that we got to grow our property tax south. And to grow the south, we got to create more jobs. And also, Peter, like I said, you will say, you know, a trailblazer over there, but we still got to have more jobs south. You know, we got to build the property tax up. We got to build to pull our fair share on the property tax. We got to build, and this is something that we're going to build. It's a start. It's just a beginning, but it's a great start. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Welcome to Dallas, Ms. Wilson. Welcome. Great.
Thank you very much.
Agenda item 6. Authorize, one, a conditional grant agreement with 4315 ESV LLC or an affiliate thereof for the renovation of the former Urban League building located at 4315 South Lancaster Road, Dallas, Texas, 75216, in an amount not to exceed $750,000, and two, an increase in appropriations in an amount not to exceed $750,000 in the ECO One Fund.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Move to approve.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Discussion?
Yes.
Please.
I'm kind of turning this over to Ms. Arnold. She's been working a great deal. As you know, the Urban League has been a building that's been blight for many, many years. And I just want to thank Carol Arnold for her hard work that she brought someone to the table. And also thank Emma Smith, you know, coming back to the southern part of Dallas for his support there also. I'm just, Carolyn, let's turn over to you. This is your district, and you've been talking about it for the last year ever since you came back.
Well, thank
Ms. Arnold.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your acknowledgement of just the fact of us having the commitment in District 4 to serve the constituents. Just a quick, and I will ask that Mr. Emmett Smith is here and Mrs. Tamala Thornton, they're both here. Upon arriving in 2015 on the council, there was already some concern with the Urban League. Couldn't get answers. It was just perplexing as to how that service shut down. So it's good today that we're able to have partners who are not just entrepreneurs. They are now public servants. It's good for us to share the story so that the community knows sometimes things don't come overnight. This has been a four-year journey. And so I want to thank, and I would just ask if you don't mind coming up because you're now newly official public servants. Come on up to the mic if you don't mind. It's good when you can give instructions and folks respond, but I know that you all are happy for the community. For those of you who have not been keeping up, there was an announcement made in March about this property in the Lancaster corridor, which services, which the VA, you have the DART rail line and the VA, of course, the medical center. But for years, the community has been asking, what's going on with the Urban League? What's going on? We need workforce. We need retail. And this is a very, very serious conversation. This morning, this is not just for me to speak. It's not just about a photo op. This is a serious conversation that has hit the hearts of many people in that community. And so they are looking forward now to the revitalization of this some 3 acres for the Urban League and the transformation of the community. So I know that you all have committed to bringing the retail, but you know I'm mostly excited about the workforce initiative. And when the news hit the 200 jobs, since you all are talking about jobs, we're going to throw our numbers out too. The community was so excited because one quote I really enjoyed and appreciated that Mr. Smith made was that we're going to focus on neighborhood employment. And this is what the neighbors want. This is what they're looking forward to. So I can't tell you anything except we, as my Pastor Haynes would say, peacock proud. Maybe someone else has used that, but we are. So thank you for stepping up to the plate for servicing. We're looking forward to working with you. And as I said, you are now much more than just the entrepreneurs. You are public servants, and we are looking and we're hanging our hats on that. Hope is with us, and we appreciate it so very much for taking time and just the interest in responding to the community. Thank you so much, Mr. Tennell Atkins. He talks about Mrs. Arnold, but he knows he is the eco wizard. Mr. Broadnax and Mr. Poe, now they've had to deal with me a long time, day in, day out. Thank you so very much for stepping up. And Mayor, as we talk about growing south, we know that you are leaving your legacy behind here. We know we had more work to do. So growing south, I'm going to rename it. We're going to be growing more in District 4 starting right now. Thank you. Did you have any words you want to share with us? Thank you.
Yeah, I'll say a few words. First of all, to Mayor, thank you and appreciate your leadership for the number of years you've been here as the mayor and to the whole entire council. We truly appreciate the opportunity to come and stand before you. I just want to say this. It has always been a mission of mine to be a servant, not necessarily a public servant, just to be a servant in general. And I think my wife, Pat, and I have done that through our Pat and M. Smith Charities by working with Dallas PISD through our back-to-school program that we have in August every year. Beyond that, it's about making an effect on the community and making a change on the community. This is an opportunity that Tamla and I have been working together for over 12 years now. Wow. We've been looking in the Lancaster corridor for a number of years, dealing with a couple shopping centers that we could not get our hands on. And so when this opportunity presented itself, we really jumped on it and really trying to get into Dallas to make an effect, to make a difference, to do our part in terms of revitalizing not only the southern sector, but to bring the city closer together in terms of the tax revenue that you're talking about. Because as a retailer, as a developer, and as a real estate guy, understanding the cycle demographics of what the retailers are looking for, this is a challenge, a major challenge. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, we definitely have to build up the workforce. We also have to create job wages that are sufficient enough so when you start looking at demographics, the medium incomes look the part. But I honestly believe, like most of you in here believe, there's pent-up demand. Mm-hmm. And people have to take leadership roles like Peter Broski is doing right now to show folks that it can actually happen. And that's what we're trying to do. Tamla's in charge of the project. I'm working closely with her along with the rest of our team members. We do have the full capability of doing it. We are not going to turn this into some flea market. Mm-hmm. This is make that very clear. Mm-hmm. We are real about what we're our business, and we want to represent ourselves in the most productive light.
And recognizing that our time is finished, I just want to say that I'm looking forward to working with the community on building an asset that's servicing everyone that needs it.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Don't walk away just yet. Don't walk away just yet. Tim, I'm going to give you some more time, as a matter of fact. But I want to first say, Councilmember Arnold, thank you for your leadership. Just like our border with Councilmember Atkins at Camp Wisdom, our border, Lancaster Road, and my commitment to you and to you, Councilmember Arnold, is going to this next term. We're going to put more focus on Lancaster Road. We shouldn't just have one business corridor in the southern part of Oak Cliff, we can have two. And so, Tamela, I want to thank you and Emmett. I want to thank you for your service and your commitment on and off the field. Tamela came and met with me maybe about a year ago. We met down at Dallas Executive Airport and talked about looking at opportunities in southern Dallas. And I want you to stop looking down there in Camp Wisdom and Redbird Lane, because we have opportunities there. But there at Lancaster Road, and Tamela, thank you for inviting me to take a tour of the facility. I think there's many opportunities for that area. There's been studies done on what are the needs assessments done. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk about that. And workforce is a number one priority. And providing an opportunity for people who live in the community, and it's important. And we don't often say it enough, people who look like you providing opportunities for you. Critically important, especially down there in Lancaster area. And so, Tamela, I want you to kind of talk about the vision, since you've been put in charge of that, for that area and the role that you see workforce playing with that.
Great. Well, when we first started looking at the area, we were looking for opportunities to create a space that could be both commercially viable in a corridor that should be the commercial spine of the southern part of the city, as well as opportunities to provide work and job training potential for the residents who are the immediately surrounding the area. Given that the site is located directly across from the VA hospital and on the DART line, there's really no opportunity for many of the residents in the community to really see spaces that provide jobs, that provide retail uses, that provide wellness activities that you would see elsewhere in the city. And so it's important to us to really look at this facility as well as look at the rest of the corridor and say, what can we do and what can we start doing incrementally to start changing the character of retail as well as the perception for outsiders, retailers. I was a retailer for many years, as to what will work in our community and what should be sustainable and supportable in our community. And so that's why it's important for us to be here.
Thank you. I think it was important for the entire council to hear that vision and the importance of your commitment to seeing this project be successful. You have my support 100%. Whatever I can do, you know how to get in contact with me any way you need to, and I look forward to seeing this project be successful. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Mr. Felder.
Yes, I just wanted to address both of you. I represent South Dallas Fair Park, Far East Dallas, Joppy. We have the Horse Park. We have a lot of opportunity in District 7, and I don't want you to overlook that because we're on the precipice of greatness. We have a TIF, the Grand South TIF. We have the South Dallas Opportunity Fund. We have the South Dallas Public Improvement District. We have a number of economic development tools, basically, that have been untapped. South Dallas Fair Park is getting ready to explode, and I would love for you guys to be a part of that that explosion, because there's so many opportunities that are coming. And so we need to make sure that we tap into it. I respect and appreciate what you've done in District 4, but don't forget about District 7. We've got a lot of opportunity coming that way. And so I can speak to you offline if you'd like to. Love to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. It is poetic justice on the 22nd of May that you are getting deep in your up to your neck in this, and congratulations and thanks for doing this. You've got a great partner there as well. We're going to take up trying to get some items that have folks here, so we'll take up item 4.
Addendum item 4 is authorize a resolution 1 reaffirming the protection of the Great Trinity Forest and upholding the multipurposes of the Great Trinity Forest as outlined in local, state, and federally approved plans, including flood risk management, ecosystem restoration, and recreational enhancements. 2, establishing a multidisciplinary team from departments with consideration given to the Park and Recreation Department, providing a significant role in conserving, preserving, and managing the Great Trinity Forest, and 3, engaging the community and stakeholders as part of the ongoing efforts. We had a cancellation, but we do have one speaker who has registered to speak on the item, Ben Sandifer. Mr. Sandifer, you'll be given 3 minutes to speak.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
My name is Ben Sandifer. I'm a resident of Dallas, Texas. It was 1 year ago, May 22nd of 2018, that I attended the retirement party of Gail Thomas, the former CEO of the Trinity Park Conservancy, or Trinity Trust. At that meeting, there was a desire expressed in one of your talks about wanting to preserve and protect the Trinity Forest and how to do it, but you didn't have a mechanism to do it. And this morning, it's exciting to see that your vision has come to the full City Council. Over the last month, I've looked at a number of drafts and been a part of talking with city staff regarding a number of deal points in this Great Trinity Forest resolution. It's not perfect. Matter of fact, it needs a lot of work. I think that a lot of times when we look this morning at authenticity and transparency, would have been talked about this morning, that there's a need to have that in this document. We've looked and worked quite a bit with city staff at trying to come up with a way to make this something that is workable. There have been a lot of problems in the past with things that the city council has approved, PD 883, which have been problematic. And there's really no, in this document, there's no achievable set of goals outlined or benchmarks. This morning, every other piece of legislation that I've listened to has achievable benchmarks and goals, and this doesn't have it. As an advocate for the Great Trinity Forest, I want to see stronger protections, stronger authenticity from city staff, and a complete transparent process in protecting the Great Trinity Forest. The document you have before you today on your docket represents an area twice the size of the city of Addison. You're voting on thoroughfare plans, zoning, restrictions on access. What you won't find in here are some hallmark pillars of the original Trinity River Project plan, transportation, economic development. You don't see that in there. It wasn't something that I took out. It was something that was never included. I'm supportive of this resolution with reservations. I think that there needs to be language put in this that reaffirms the necessity of this document itself, that problems of the past don't occur again. And the way to do that is to put in the language here a way for citizens such as myself to have a better feeling about how this is going to go forward in the future. It's a big vote for me, and I think it should be a big vote for you too. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
This concludes your speaker on this item, Ms. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. First, I'm going to move approval.
A motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I worked with Ben and Becky Rader to modify the language so that environmentalists would feel as though this resolution accurately reflected their concerns. And yes, it's not a perfect resolution, but we've come a long way. And it's a set of goals related to what we want to achieve in the Great Trinity Forest now and in the future. And it's a start to say we are going to complete these action plans. We're going to address the zoning problems that are there. We're going to address the thoroughfare plan problems that are there. And it's all listed in this resolution, and so I believe it is a good start. And then I also wanted to add that related to this action today, on June 10th, the Quality of Life Committee is going to take up a resolution related to this Great Trinity Forest one that is going to honor Ned and Jeannie Fritz, whose work helped preserve the Great Trinity Forest for us to enjoy today. And that Fritz resolution will be on the June 12th council agenda.
Thank you. I am excited about that next resolution that's coming as well, because those are great. We've got a lot of leaders and traditions in this city, and they were two of them. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And I agree, too, that this is just a first great step, you know, forward. But, you know, we definitely need to have long-term, you know, protection of this area. And a great bit of my area, you know, abuts to that area. And, you know, I know Ned and his wife worked many, many years. I guess I've known them since the early 80s when they used to work with my former state representative boss, you know, and they created a mechanism, really a Trinity River State Park was the original idea, trying to protect this area. And I've been down in the Buckeye Trail walking with them, some of the beauty there. So we want to preserve that. So I'm looking at this document, like Ben said, it's not perfect. It's a beginning. But I do want to thank him and others like him, certainly the Fritzes, you know, for their work, and even Linda Plon, as she continues to advocate. She's a constituent of mine, and she lives right on top of that. So we want that area to flourish, but we want to make sure that we protect it. And I know the city has acquired a lot of property to do just that, but we need to maintain it as in its original form as we possibly can. And as we go into that area to walk and explore and enjoy it, we need to make sure that we respect it. So I just want to say thank you to the city staff and others that have made this a reality. And again, just simply a first step forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan. Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to be sure that we didn't vote on this without me thanking Terry Lowry, Sarah Standerford, and Tammy Palomino. They worked really hard over the last couple of weeks on modifying this so that we could make it better, and I want to say thank you.
I was going to echo staff's work on this, and we do have, Ms. Standerford, a lot of work to do politically, but also I think at the city we've got to do that work. And we're just kind of kicking off this, but the willingness to jump into this and take it on this big issue is great. So with that, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Congratulations.
We'll now go back to agenda item 49. Agenda item 49, authorized one settlement in lieu of proceeding further with condemnation in the condemnation suit style City of Dallas v. Linda Sue Reed, for acquisition from Linda Sue Reed et al. Of approximately 59,276 square feet of land for right-of-way located near the intersection of Siegelville Road and Interstate Highway 20 for the Southwest 120 96-inch water transmission pipeline project, and two, the deposit of the settlement amount reached through the court-ordered mediation and negotiation of the condemnation suit for an amount not to exceed the amount of the settlement amount, not to exceed $285,000.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Motion approved.
Second.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item.
Ms. Grayson, one opposed?
Thank you. Noted. Agenda item 50. Authorize one, adoption of the Targeted Neighborhood Enhancement Program Statement, two, a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with the Golden Seeds Foundation or an affiliate thereof in connection with the neighborhood enhancements for the bottom neighborhood, and three, an increase in appropriations, future encumbrances, and disbursements as appropriate for a total amount not to exceed $500,000.
Mr. Atkins.
So moved.
We got a motion and second. Any discussion? Mr. Atkins?
No.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 51, authorize one, adoption of the Southern Dallas Investment Fund Program Statement, and two, an increase in appropriations, future encumbrances, and disbursements as appropriate for a total amount not to exceed $2,500,000.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
So moved.
Second.
And a motion is second. Any discussion?
Yes, I think, Mr. Mayor, I think we'll talk about the southern part of Dallas, and I think this would be a great project, you know, for TC and his staff, economic development staff, to stimulate, you know, jobs, increase what's going on in the southern part of Dallas. So I wholeheartedly support this item.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 52, a resolution in furtherance of the City of Dallas's efforts to support diverse racial, ethnic, cultural, and socioeconomic backgrounds and to promote equity in the Dallas community.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas.
Move approval.
We had a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Arnold.
Yes, sir. Really, Mayor, I just wanted to say a little bit about you while I can. And I know that you've had a lot of heat in the last couple of years.
I appreciate it.
If I could.
Well, I know, but this isn't about Southern Dallas.
It's about racial equity and growth. And so I want to make sure, I know I'm making you blush, but the bottom line is you brought to the city a statement of growing South that a lot of folks doesn't want to touch. And it does attempt to support investment in a diverse racially, ethnic, and cultural and different social economic backgrounds in the South. And so that's how I'm tying it in. We don't miss our water to the, you know, the well is drying out. So I want to make sure I underscore that and that sometimes it just takes time. And so we appreciate that and just know that even though you're not here, we're going to continue to push, and I'm glad to see this resolution here. We must continue the conversation. We must continue the investment in the direction of the South. And I want to continue to underscore that as I sit here at the horseshoe. So thank you, Mayor, and thank you for my opportunity to make you blush.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, first I want to say thank you. Many of you know this is something for at least 2 years. I've been talking about equity, equity, equity. And here's an opportunity for us. I want to thank the those who are on the Human and Social Needs Committee, because this came to the committee and we could have really had a different kind of conversation, but it was supported unanimously, and I'm hoping, just like they did at Dallas ISD, they put forward the resolution, it passed unanimously, focused on racial equity. This will make a great statement to the residents of the City of Dallas that leadership of this city sees that this is the day and time for us to make the City of Dallas right and to make sure that things are done in a fair and equitable manner. Nadia, I want to thank you for working with me and composing this resolution, and each of them, TC, for not just listening but giving leadership. I know I've gotten on your nerves focusing talking about equity, and we're glad to have our Chief Equity Officer, Vic. I look forward to you doing great things. You have my support 100%, as you already know. And colleagues, I think it will make a great statement on a day in which we put so much focus in Southern Dallas and voting on so many of these different economic development projects. The capstone will be passing this resolution unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the best things you ever did, Mayor, is make him chair of that committee, and I'm real proud. He's my friend, and the things that he's doing, he's really making a difference. He's owned that committee. He's embraced it. He's gone out and challenged others to get this thing right. And I tell you, come south, folks. Come south of I-30. Some of the best people in the world live down there. I go home every night there. So do you. So does Mr. Atkins, Mr. Felder. Well, you're a little bit north, but you still have a lot of the district south. And others, you know, on the council here. So we have some great people. And it's just time for fairness. You know, that's the big buzzword, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But let's, rather than it being hyperbole, let's make sure that we really do something about it. We have 55% of the land in Southern Dallas, folks, and our tax base is 15%. Enough. We deserve better than this. We can raise that bar. Just think if we could get that to 25 or 30%, what we could do. And this is how we do it, with a strategic plan to make sure that the people here, again, it bears repeating, is the fact that, you know, the diverse racial, ethnic, cultural, and socioeconomic backgrounds. And that's how we're going to grow Dallas. Dallas is not the city it was in the 40s or the 50s. We're now living in the 2000s. So let's make it that way, and let's make sure we have the economic development, and something that Tanel says all the time is let's make sure that we provide jobs, and let's find a way to get those people to their jobs. If you want to really do something for somebody, make sure they have a good paying job and access to get to that job. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll now move to addendum item one. Addendum item one, authorize one, the acceptance of a grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to support lead-based paint identification and remediation activities and the repair of conditions that exacerbate asthma for eligible housing units in an amount not to exceed $2,300,000 for the period May 31st, 2019 through November 29th, 2022, to the establishment of appropriations in an amount not to exceed $2,300,000 in the Lead Hazard and Healthy Homes Grant Fund, three, the receipt and deposit of grant funds in an amount not to exceed $2,300,000 in the Lead Hazard and Healthy Homes Grant Fund, four, a required local cash match in an amount not to exceed $735,000 from eligible community development block grant funds and other eligible housing funds allocated for home repairs, new development, or substantial rehabilitation activities. Five, creation of a manager three position and a grant compliance specialist position. And six, execution of the grant agreement in all terms, conditions, and documents required by the grant agreement. Total not to exceed $3,035,000.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
So moved.
Second.
The motion is second. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. This is something that's greatly needed. Mr. Felder and I were both licensed brokers. We've dealt with this issue for years. And, you know, people really need to understand what lead does, particularly in young children teething. You know, these flakes of this old lead-based paint gets there, and they're crawling around the floor with their pacifier, their bottle, or their play toys. And it affects their ability mentally to move forward, and so many of the kids are affected by that. And it's really time that we move forward as we start rehabilitating houses, particularly in the southern part that were built before 1978, that we began to really have a strategic program. So I'm really excited that we can make a difference with this, because it's very, very meaningful. And as we, again, make improvements to these properties, and whether they be apartments or houses or even commercial buildings, you know, I think that we can really, really make a lot of improvement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I ask staff? I have a question about this, and I apologize. I should have asked this in committee when it came through. But I very much appreciate that when we use our funding and leverage to get additional federal funding, that's a great way to do it. The $735,000 that's coming from CDBG, where is that? We'd already approved our CDBG budget, so where is that coming from?
Maureen Milligan, Assistant Director in the Department of Housing and Neighborhood Revitalization. We're going to use this HUD grant that was a competitive grant. The city doesn't usually get competitive HUD grants, and so it's the first time in a long while we're awarded that. In our HIP program. So if we're providing in our home improvement and repair program, okay. So if we are engaging in rehab activities that are over specific amounts, we're required by lead abatement rules already to engage in lead assessment and abatement, and so that's already part of our home repair program.
Okay.
CDBG is a funding source that allows its funds to be matched with other funds, and so we're doing that.
Okay, so actually it's actually enhancing that program. We're not reducing any other program. We're actually enhancing the
correct, because program. We can now use these lead funds that we would have had to use with CDBG.
Great. That's a great use of these funds, and I appreciate it. And I also just want to remind folks that especially using these – I know we use it across the city, but I'm particularly interested in using it in homes where seniors are living, because they really – it's a lot of times these are the kinds of things that we can do to help keep seniors in their homes by providing these kinds of home repair services. So thank you, Maureen.
And we can, but there has to be a child under the age of six who lives in or regularly visits the home. So if it's a caregiver who's elderly, they still would be eligible as long as the home's built before 1978.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item two, authorize one, an amendment to the City of Dallas Comprehensive Housing Plan, I'm sorry, Housing Policy, CHP, to add a land transfer program to incentivize the development of quality, sustainable housing that is affordable to the residents of the city and the development of other uses that complement the city's CHP, economic development policy, or redevelopment policy, and two, an interlocal agreement with Dallas County, including Dallas County Hospital District, Dallas County Community College District, and Dallas Independent School District, to allow the city to resell tax foreclosed property that has a tax delinquency of 6 or more years to be developed for a purpose consistent with the city's urban redevelopment plans or the city's affordable housing policy in accordance with the section 34.051 of the Texas Property Tax Code.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Kleinman.
Just briefly, this is a great use to similar to like our land bank and our ability to get our properties off our rolls and get into productive use. I do want to point out that unfortunately the city of Dallas was asking for further ability to do that in the state legislature to expand our land bank to be able to use for things like multifamily and commercial, and they killed our bill. So while we're trying to do good things for our neighbors and our residents here in the city, not get a lot of help down in Austin.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item 3. A resolution 1 declaring the Robert E. Lee and the Confederate Soldier by sculptor Alexander Fenster Proctor to be surplus property, and 2, authorizing a method of sale pursuant to section 2-37.4 of the Dallas City Code.
Mr. Thomas.
Move approval.
A motion and a second. Any discussion, Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'm going to advocate to keep the Robert E. Lee statue in Dallas. We talked about it. It doesn't need to be out in Lee Park. It needs to be in a museum. Well, okay, if that's the will of the majority, then put it in a museum, but put it in a museum in Dallas, Texas. Don't sell it and don't relocate it out of our city. It was given to us as a gift back in 1936 by the Southern Memorial Association. It is, no doubt, one of the finest equestrian monuments of its type in the world. This whole exercise really, truly has been a distraction for our city. It's been divisive for our city. It's a waste of our resources and scarce city funds, and it's really at this challenging time, you know, for our staff as well. So, unfortunately and unnecessarily, it's reopening of the terrible wounds of the greatest conflict in American history, the Civil War. And the good people of District 5, they have never advocated for this, so that's the reason I continue to advocate on the other side. I just think it's such a mistake. It's just really incomprehensible. I represent an area that's 90% minority, and I don't think hardly anybody in my district, maybe one person, has come up to be vocal about this, but yet many of my colleagues and also a good core group of probably 100 people across our city, they deem this to be really an emergency or urgent, and to spend all this kind of staff time and the money, it's just really unbelievable. So I will be opposing this, and I think, keep the statue in Dallas. It's our property. I don't think we ought to be selling this property. And so thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a question for staff. It's my understanding that we've had several people reached out. So are we going to – have we notified those individuals that we potentially could be selling if this is approved today?
Good morning. Joe is about the Assistant City Manager, yes.
Okay, and then how are we going to advertise it? Are we going to?
We are prepared to do that through an online auction service that we have through our purchasing department.
Okay, will we be setting a reserve?
No.
Okay, so we could, the amount, but they are, the buyer will be, have to move it, or, I mean, or could there
correct.
Be?
The only stipulations is that they enter into a purchase agreement with the city, not display it in the city of Dallas, and that they would move it at their expense.
And so not display, so even in a private collection in Dallas is not allowed?
That is what the resolution says, not display it in the city of Dallas.
And what was the rationale for that? that it couldn't be privately.
It's consistent with, I think, what the City Council's resolutions have said previously about displaying, you know, Confederate art.
And I thought that was in a public place, though, not in a private collection, like in a museum or somebody's private collection.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the thinking of it at this point, that if we're not going to be, as you'll recall, the original intent was to find a museum or educational institution locally where we could display it with full historical context. At this point, we've moved away from that, and this resolution would declare it as surplus and unneeded property. And in doing that, we don't have any, you know, control over whether it's on public or private land in Dallas. We don't have any control over his full historical context or how it's displayed. So the thinking is the best thing to do if we're going to follow this path is to say, do not display it in the city of Dallas.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Kleiman.
I have concerns about this section 2B as well, about the purchase of about she'll not display it in the city of Dallas. First of all, you made a statement, just made a statement that we cannot control a public display, but it clearly we could if we control the public realm.
The resolution that council has previously passed and written in here, we do not want it on public land.
Okay, so why not just put that in this resolution as opposed to not display anywhere in the city of Dallas?
So the whereas section does include that the city affirmed it does not want it displayed on public property. And at this point, again, is a distinction between doing the long-term loan or donation that was the task force recommendation originally. This is auctioning it, selling it.
No, I understand not displaying on a public property or not displaying it in public view, but what you've written in the resolution is that it will not be displayed in the city of Dallas at all, and I think that's different.
Well, and again, what's different is we, as in this resolution, if council declares it as unneeded surplus property, then we don't attach any more strings beyond you will take it away at your own cost, which is in the section 2B,
right.
And the only other control that we would have if we're not going to be able to do full historical context or dictate how it's displayed on public or private land is to say, take it out of the city of Dallas. Do not display it in the city of Dallas.
Okay, so if we offered an alternative that just said, shall not display the sculpture in public view in the city of Dallas, would that suffice in that way a private collector, they've had it in their own private collection, could in the city of Dallas could still own it? I mean, I understand the intention, but I mean, I think if someone agrees put it in a private collection and have it,
thinking about a council, so you're suggesting someone wants to display it on private property in the city limits, but it's not
right.
Viewable from the street
right.
Or from the public
right
away.
Right.
I mean, this is the way we've drafted it. If that's your suggestion, then again, we're looking for the will of the council on how to move forward.
Well, I guess I'd like to put forth an amendment that modifies Section 2B to say the purchaser shall not publicly display the sculpture in the city of Dallas, and that the purchaser shall secure this restriction contractually with any subsequent purchaser. So that way it's clear that it's their private collection and it's not in the public view, then they can have it actually physically own the thing in the city of Dallas. Because if we sell this and they put it in a warehouse in the city of Dallas, they would be in contradictory to this resolution.
So is that you're asking for a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas? That's fine. Accepted. Seconded?
I'll second it.
Second. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Felder.
How much
point of information? Who actually did the second on the original motion?
Narvaez.
Madam Secretary?
Sorry. Who did?
She said it was me.
I had you down as the second.
Yeah, I won't accept that friendly amendment.
Okay, got it. We got another second over here. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Felder, you're up.
Wait, point of information, or can you do an amendment friendly and have not the original person seconding the original motion in order, and then they can second a friendly amendment?
Yeah, you just drop, you drop off in some.
No, I did not drop off on the original motion. I just did not accept the friendly.
No, you're still on the original. On this, now we've got a second motion.
So is this the second motion? Because I heard friendly amendment. I never heard.
I don't know what you call it. This is the motion we're taking up at this time.
So, point of information, I need to know what the actual motion we're taking up at this time is.
We're taking up with the original motion with that amendment. That's what we're taking up.
I'd like the attorney to rule as to whether we can take a not vote on an amendment and as a full motion when we haven't voted on the actual amendment.
No, we're not taking up just the amendment. We're taking up the full motion, okay, with the amendment.
I still, Mr. Mayor, as far as I remember in my basic Robert Rules of Order, is that you make a motion, somebody can amend it. If it's a friendly and it's accepted, then that becomes the motion. There's a motion for a friendly amendment, which was not accepted by the seconder of the original motion. Therefore, it would need to be an unfriendly amendment, for lack of a different word, and we would have to vote on that amendment separately in order to add it to the actual original motion.
Okay. That's not the way I read it, but Mr. Queso take the...
He can appeal the decision for the body, and then the body will make a determination on that.
On what? I don't even know what he's appealing. What? Look.
I'm not appealing. What I'm saying is that we're out of order if we are adding we're adding an amendment to an original motion that hasn't been accepted by the person who seconded the original motion.
Right. You can't swap seconds. You have to go
right. And Mr. the mayor is now swapping the second with Mr. Callahan's second, which is that's what I'm saying we're out of order on.
Okay. So, do you have a motion, Mr. Kleinman? Okay.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Just substitute the motion.
I move for approval of this item with the change to Section 2B to read, the purchaser shall not publicly display the sculpture in the city of Dallas, and that the purchaser shall secure this restriction contractually with any subsequent purchaser of the sculpture is later sold.
And do we have a second? We've got a second.
Point of information on that. When you say not publicly displays, I mean any particular public art museum or property owned by the city of Dallas.
Don't look at me.
I mean, if you're asking me, my intention is that it not be seen from anywhere in the public realm.
Thank you. Now we're back. We're voting on it. Mr. Felder.
My question is with regard to costs. How much have we spent so far in taking the statue down, transporting it, and storing it from the time it was originally taken down?
It was approximately $450,000.
Now, make sure you understand. That's taking it down, transporting it, and storing it to the date. $450,000 total?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how much are we paying per month to store it and protect it?
It's on city land and it's contained, so there really is no additional cost to the city.
No, so we don't have private security protecting
it? We've got security and security measures in place at the facility where it's kept. We didn't add anything, so we were already paying those costs for security on the grounds.
So all in, we're $450,000?
To date.
Okay. So the question came back, I heard the question with regard to the reserve. To recoup our costs, we need to do at least $450,000 to recoup our costs, don't you think?
Maybe more than that.
Well, Councilman, I see it as two different transactions. The city's already expended the money to remove it and put it where it is.
Right.
So we've already spent that money. To your point, yes, if the city got a bid for $450 and it was the highest bid, then we will have recovered it. But we've already paid it, so at this point, it's just the highest bidder.
Well, okay. I represent the taxpayers in District 7, as well as the entire city of Dallas. And so, from that aspect, I think that we need to at least recoup $450,000, because I've heard loud and clear from part of my district that they were very upset about the cost taking down the statue. And so I think we need to recoup at least $450,000 in order to make the taxpayer whole.
And Councilman, in response, if I may add, the highest bid will come back to City Council. Our plan is to bring it back for the June 12th addendum for that council meeting. So you will be able to use that as your, decision-making tool. We'll see what the highest bid is. Council will have to approve it or not.
Right. I guess where I'm going with mine is, I guess I need to make a motion on a reserve, because I want to make sure we get at least $450,000 in order to make the taxpayer whole.
Right. And again, I mean, you can make a motion, but my answer to the full council is that you will ask for the highest bid. We mention in the resolution that it was previously appraised at $950,000. The final highest bid would come back to City Council for approval. And if at that time it's not, suitable to you, then you can, every council member can make that vote, that decision.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to make a reserve of at least $450,000 to make the taxpayers whole.
Are you asking Mr. Kleinman for a friendly amendment?
Yes, Mr. Kleinman, would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Okay. No, he said. Okay. So we now have a third motion on the table that we will be doing. And I assume it's everything Mr. Kleinman said plus the reserve of 450. Okay. Did we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay. You got a second?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a second, and that's what we'll be discussing. Ms. Arnold, you're up.
Woo. What I would like to know from the attorneys is what we inform of what we are submitting. Is this acceptable in terms of submission? So could I hear from the attorneys on what we have, because we have quite a bit of
Mr. Queso, could
energy
you come up?
Going.
Thank you. Are you asking about the process? Or are you just
with all of the motions that are amendments that are being offered, if we vote to accept, is it in the correct form from a legal standpoint? Will we have any challenges, or is in form and language acceptable?
I believe it's acceptable.
All right, that's all I need to know, because we had so many motions coming in, so I wanted to make sure before I voted. Thank you, Ms. Martinez.
Thank you. Oh, anything else? Okay, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I ask Mr. Kleinman a clarifying question?
Please.
Mr. Kleinman, when you said you're amending it to say no public display, you then said within the city limits of Dallas. You intend, in fact, for it to be no public display anywhere, correct?
No, I meant within the city of Dallas.
So outside of Dallas, you're fine with it being on a roadside?
Not really.
Yeah, I think the intent. Can we clarify? I'm suggesting this as a friendly amendment to simply delete the "in the city of Dallas" requirement and say no public display.
I would accept that.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Narvaez is going to get mad at me again because we're not doing yours. Okay.
When we get back to Mr. Kleinman's motion, I think he'll accept it. I meant to do, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay.
And I just want to say that regardless of where you are on this issue, and there's diversity of opinion on the council and there's diversity of opinion among Dallas residents, we could have been done with this 18 months ago, and the fact that we're not is a sign of a staggering failure of leadership, not least by one of our members who's no longer with us.
Mr. Callahan. Wait a minute. You've already talked. Okay, but Mr. Clement has too. Second round, please.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah, we've got extra motions, emotion, and commotion here at City Hall. And now we're still continuing down this slippery slope, you know, of historic revisionism. And we first had folks just saying that, well, don't worry, we're just going to take it out of Lee Park and we don't mean it any harm. We're going to put it in a museum. We're going to contextualize it. And we're going to do all this wonderful stuff. Now we got folks just want to get it out of the city, get the cash, dash for the cash. You know, we'll spend probably $1 million on this, folks, before we're all said and done to check a box, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. We all know what happened in the Civil War 160-something years ago, and it's just the fact is that this was given as a gift, and we've got two locations, Lee Park, or now Turtle Creek Park, and then we've got Pioneer Park that's got these things, and nobody ever paid any attention to it, but now all of a sudden it's just... just seems to be real important, and Mr. Felder said it right. You bet the taxpayers are upset. And I tell you what, your survey said that 62% of the people of Dallas, Texas didn't want this touched. I would rather see us hire police officers. I'd rather see us fix our streets. I would rather see us add parkland or improvements to our parkland. Anything but this, this is just a waste of money and a waste of time, and I hope it goes on another 18 months because all of my colleagues that voted for this, they deserve the kind of treatment and the pushback that they're getting. And I've never stood for I will never stand for it. I just think the whole thing is just mind-bending. So, again, I'm going to continue to represent my district all the way to June 17th. I'm very oppositional to this. And thank you for wasting my time. I came here to make Southeast Dallas and Pleasant Grove a better place, but instead I've spent all of my energy and time. And that's why I'm not running again, because I'm fed up with this waste of our time. I wanted to be productive and do something good for my people. But this is a waste. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. I hasn't spoken. Ms. Grayson.
I had a question about the motion for no public display. If a museum somewhere else wanted to display this, but they charge the public to come in, is that no public display? Or they let the public come in?
You're talking about Mr. Kingston's friendly motion, okay, that Mr. Kleinman's asking. Any place. We answered it inside the city of Dallas.
Well,
it could not be a museum.
I understand that. We don't want it, you know, on a roadside or something. But what about if somebody wants to bid on this and they have a museum and either they let the public in for free or they charge the public? Are they precluded from bidding on this?
Mr. Queso is going to interpret the motion and opine.
As a general matter, if you pay to enter someplace, that's not a member of the public, okay? So if I pay to enter a particular
facility.
So
if you pay to go into a museum,
right,
it's not a public facility.
I mean, generally speaking, that's not, you know, you could, of course, clarify, but ordinarily that's not a member of the public. Remember, you know, when you say to the public, it's, you know, where you don't have to pay, that everybody has access to it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you. I do just want to clarify why I did not accept Mr. Felder's well-intentioned friendly amendment. First of all, because we do have the option to reject any bid that comes forward. But secondly, because I don't want to put anything in the way of the disposal of this piece. And so that I just wanted to clarify my position on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, sir. We just voted a few minutes ago on the resolution in the furtherance to support diverse racial, ethnic, cultural, and socioeconomic backgrounds and to promote equity and understanding and healing. We need to go ahead and vote to support, go ahead and vote so we can go ahead and move forward, because we don't need to keep talking about this over and over and over, because the more we talk about it, the more we delay, the more we get back into the conversation of the hate talk and all this other stuff that's going on. We need to go ahead and shut this down. We're trying to move forward in the city of Dallas, and this is one way we're going to take care of a business. Now, we voted, we've heard from our constituents, and we're going back and forth. Let's go ahead and vote with the amendments, and if no one buys the thing, then we have a chance to come back and take care of business. But we cannot afford to have those statues, as I said earlier, being the welcoming site for the city of Dallas, and we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. If we're serious about healing and addressing the inequities, let's start taking care of business today. Thank you, Mayor. I just want us to go ahead and vote, and if I have to move the question, I'll move the question. Thank you.
I don't know what you just said, that last thing. Well, I mean, are you calling the question?
I can call the call the question.
Okay. We need to call a question. We need to get a majority.
Right. Two-thirds.
Two-thirds to approve that. Let's take a question.
Please start voting.
On calling the question.
14 have voted. All have voted.
Motion fails.
Motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
With an 8-7.
Okay, I got it. I'm trying to figure out. Put the next one back up so I see who the next speaker is.
It's going to take a few seconds, Mr.
Okay,
Mayor.
Okay, there we go. Mr. Kingston is up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, I'm just trying to clarify what we're doing with the condition. My intention, and I'm hopeful that Mr. Kleinman will accept this when we get back to his motion, is that the condition be the statue is not visible from publicly owned property. A museum is not publicly owned property. If they let people in for free or charge people, that's irrelevant, Mr. Queso. It's where is the thing sitting and can it be seen from public property? And I think that's what Mr. Kleinman meant also. If that's what we're voting on, then that has my support. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Last round.
I'm just going to say again that, you know, if you want to take it off the street and out of public view, put it in the Dallas Museum of Art. We have a great museum over there. I'm sure they've got space for it. That way people can still see it. If you must contextualize it, I'm not opposed to that whatsoever. But it is a beautiful statue, and it is ours. And there is no reason at all for this to leave Dallas, Texas. And it ought to be seen by the school children. And that way they can make up their own minds what it means, contextualize it. It also has an African-American rider to the right side of that statue. Talk about it. Use it as a teachable moment. That's what history is all about. Don't hide history. Don't try to cover history up. Let's get it out in front of everybody. But this is our statue. My goodness, one of the greatest equestrian statues you'll find. I've been all over Europe and Russia and other places. This is a beautiful statue. We ought to keep it, and we ought to tell the school children and the people that care about that American Civil War. Let's learn from it, for goodness sakes. Don't hide it.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I pretty much agree with most everything that Mr. Callahan has been saying. However, I am going to vote in favor of this today because I don't think that statue ought to be sitting in a wooden crate at Hensley Field. So I'm going to go ahead and vote to go ahead and see if we can get anybody who wants to buy it.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman. Third round.
Yeah, I'll be brief. First of all, who seconded my motion?
Grayson.
No, it was Mr. Callahan.
Okay. Because I'd like to maybe just more define it because I think we're not clear. So.
Can we do that after we take up Mr. Fowler's motion?
I thought we did already voted.
No.
I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, we'll vote on Mr. Yes, I will. I will do that. Mr. Fowler has the original motion without outside. It's just in the city of Dallas. Okay. Excuse me.
That's correct.
Hold on. I'm trying to remember. You took the Mr. Kleinman's original motion that said it can be in the city of Dallas, but it has to be in private property, and then you put the 450 reserve on it. Okay. So that's what we're voting on. All right? So please vote.
Please start voting. 11 have voted. 13 have voted. 14 have voted. 14 have voted. 15 have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmembers McGue, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmember Gates, Felder, Mayor Rollins, Councilmember Narvaez, Grayson, Griggs, and Atkins. Voting against, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Kleiman, Clayton, Kingston, and Callahan. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, and we'll take the next item.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I would like to change my vote to yes.
Okay.
Noted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
9-6.
Next item.
Addendum item 7. Authorize the purchase of 116 pieces of fleet vehicles and equipment with Austin Truck and Equipment LTD, DBA Freightliner of Austin in the amount of $747,904, Chase Stang Ford in the amount of $426,038, Kirby Smith Machinery in the amount of $149,995, BTE Body Company, Inc. in the amount of $135,540, Berry Companies, Inc., DBA Bobcat of Dallas in the amount of $76,552, and Magnum Trailers, DBA Magnum Custom Trailer, MSG Company, Inc., in the amount of $11,981.60 through the Texas Association of School Boards Cooperative Agreement, and three pieces of fleet vehicles with Sampax 5-Star Ford in the amount of $93,284.70 through the Tarrant County Interlocal Agreement, not to exceed $1,641,295.30.
Ms. Gates.
Move for approval.
Motion is second. Ms. Arnold.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would love to have everyone on board, of course, with this particular purchase. It was one of the part of the conversations in terms of doing something different and being more committed and giving us shock and awe in cleaning. Code enforcement and just enhancement in some of our communities, and want to thank the mayor and also Mr. T.C. Broadnax and staff for stepping up to the plate. District 4 will be one of the recipients along with other communities, but we must put our money where our mouth is, and so thank you very much for the opportunity just to speak on it, and I'm asking that the council will support wholeheartedly the request by the taxpayers to clean up their communities and help us to also implement the curriculum whereby we can sustain what the city has invested in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
The other community that she's speaking of is District 7. I echo many of the sentiments that my colleague, Ms. Arnold, is espousing, to the extent that during my just short of two-year tenure in District 7, speaking to the residents, specifically in South Dallas Fair Park, about the lack of code enforcement in that particular district, people have called and called and called, and no one has responded. And TC and I have had many conversations, and some very unpleasant. But at the end of the day, I appreciate the results that we're moving in the right direction to give equity to people who haven't had equity. And I'm very appreciative of that, because the citizens deserve it. And that is the most important thing to me at this point. Thank you.
Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had the honor and privilege of having Mrs. Simpson to come, our new co-director, to come to our District 3 monthly community leaders breakfast. As most of you know, there have been a number of concerns that relates to code and code enforcement in Southern Dallas. We've seen things and up close, and we've seen them on the news. And I think when we talk about equity, we know, you know, and the statistics back it up, where the greatest concern, specifically in terms of 311 requests, on 417. We know that. We know that the data is there. Not saying that each of us don't have those concerns, but the data speaks for itself. Councilmember Clayton talked about us becoming data specialists. us knowing the data for our districts, knowing the data citywide. We have dashboards now. I hope and Mr. Simpson would be good for us to be able to have that same information that we have with public safety, specifically as relates to 311 requests by district in a dashboard. And I think that effort's already begun. It's critically important if we're going to continue to grow South. We've got to clean South up. And we have to make sure we allocate the resources in a way in which we can clean Southern Dallas up. If we want development clean and safe, I've said that a number of occasions. I've said it at community meetings. We have to be, the area has to be clean. It has to be safe. I have confidence in Chief Hall and her staff that we're going to make sure Dallas is safe. We're going to make sure Southern Dallas is safe. Now, the next step is to make sure that Southern Dallas is clean. Here's an opportunity to take resources that have been set aside, that are sitting there, to be able to buy, provide the type of equipment, be able to have the type of staff and code that's necessary in order to clean Southern Dallas up. So I will be supporting this, and I hope we can get a majority of people to do the same thing. We can't just talk equity. We've got to live equity. We have a budget, those who are going to be here, that's coming. And we've charged our city manager, and he's done it, to emphasize equity in the budgeting process. And so we've got to walk the talk. We're going to have a great opportunity to do that. Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I had a lot to say, you know, recently at the Better Quality of Life meeting regarding code and all those challenges. As I said before, it's 55% of the land area, and we have, you know, the Trinity and White Rock Creek and Prairie Creek and Elam Creek and others. We have a lot of isolated, remote areas, particularly in Mr. Atkins, District 8, and we're subject to illegal dumping and all kinds of problems there. We have a whole lot of trees, as you know, too. So we have a lot of storms and a lot of those things pile up. But we need some help. There's no doubt about it. And we need extra help. And we need the resources that, you know, that maybe the other parts of the city do not need at this time. But that's the only way we're going to win this fight. You know, we know it's on us. We the people that live there, you know, we've got to do a better job of picking up after ourselves and so forth if economic development's ever going to come. But while we're doing that, while we're trying to inculcate values into our kids and so forth, we've got to have the city come in and do the extra work that is necessary to do that and not have this stuff languish away into sitting there. You know, we've got the dogs have been dumped, you know, historically there, and also other challenges. So this will go a long way, I think, to making some real systematic changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, I concur, you know, with Mr. Thomas and Kevin and Rick, but I think timing is the essence right now, Mr. Callahan. I think that we just had the Brian Nelson, you know, in Pleasant Grove, you know, over 200,000 people came there, and you still see the same trash on the street. I went down Martin Luther King, you know, not talking about anybody in the district, but say on Sunday, you know, I saw the drag racing. I couldn't even drive down Martin Luther King at 7 o'clock on Sunday, and it went all the cold, you know, violation going on there. So it's disturbing to me when I put someone in my car and drive them through the southern part of Dallas, the issues that we have, it's bad. And we're going to get development over here. I ask all colleagues from the north and east and also staff that we got to get a grip on this. You know, Mayor Rollins, I really sympathize with you leaving, but the point is that we got to shine a light on the southern part of Dallas. If we're going to grow the tax base, we got to shine a light on just down Lincoln's Corridor, you know, Camp Wilson, Cleaver Riley, you know, I have a call from Cleaver Riley and say, hey, what are you doing? Do you care about our neighborhood? But it's a big stick. I don't know how we're going to handle it. We're not going to get it done overnight. It's going to take some time. It's going to take a revenue source. It's going to take looking at the budget. It's going to take more personnel or more boots on the ground. it's a big hurdle, and I understand the city manager, because it's a big budget issue also, because we never do have enough cold personnel to help the southern part of Dallas, but it's an urgency right now. I mean, we've been talking about it for many, many years. For the last 10 or 12 years, we've been talking about cold, and cold always pop up number one. And since it's number one, we need to make sure it is number one and make sure we do the priority to make sure it is number one of the city of Dallas. Because if you don't have a clean city, you don't have a good quality of life in the neighborhood. It's a shame that when you come from the south, from the suburb going north, and you see it's not north, you know, it's south. We need to change that, and all we can change that has got to be the culture cleaning. It's going to take all 14 council members and the mayor to make the change and make sure people look at that we are trying to do something to make a difference in this city. Thank you.
Ms. Arnold.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a quick little story here. On 2 days ago, I was with a builder on Garrison Street, American Builders Dream Homes, and I met was talking to a neighbor, and a lot was next to her with a big orange sign in it, and I said, well, we really need to work on that property, because here we're building two new homes on Garrison, and we have these high weeds right across the street, and then also this lady had five children in open field with snakes and other visitors coming over. And you know what she said? She said, that's city property. Totally embarrassed. I'm getting too many conversations about property that we own as a city, and we're not able to take care of it in the southern sector. And so I think with this initiative, we continue to push to clean, making it, of course, a priority that we take care of our own property, because it's not right to the citizens who are getting tickets for their properties, and we're sitting here with three or four lots that's owned by the city. So, Mr. Broadnax, we're going to keep giving you what you need and staff, and we're going to ask the council members to help us in the southern sector to bring about this equity that we keep talking about. We're not going to get the economic development until there is a sign from the city that you care about cleaning and taking care of business. And that's one thing I do know the mayor is real good about, is talking about the atmosphere of cleanliness. So, council members, please help us as we fight for the southern sector. And I'm not going to get tired of fighting for my taxpayers and my citizens. We need to clean, and we need to give you more, Mr. Broadnax and staff, to do more through the southern sector and the whole city. And thank you so much for allowing me to just express that sentiment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Hopefully this lady can get her mattress picked up now. You know, it's been picked up. Good. Good. All right. Miss Grayson, I want to entertain your motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to move to reconsider the vote on addendum item 3 because one of our colleagues would like to change his vote to be supportive of the motion.
It's the Bobby Lee thing. Okay. So do we have a second? I guess we don't need a second on reconsiderations. All right. All in favor of reconsideration, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there folks opposed? All right. We're reconsidered. Can we just announce the vote change?
Can we just make it easy and just announce that okay. Mr. Medrano wants to change his vote to be supportive?
Okay, well, say it. Okay.
I vote to be supportive of the motion.
Say yes.
Yes.
Aye. Mr. Kleinman? Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Kleinman, we changed two of the votes there. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 8.
Addendum item 8. The resolution authorizing the city manager to ratify a contract with Coastal Turf Inc. DBA Champion Turf Farms for the emergency purchase of 105,000 square feet of Champion Ultra Dwarf Bermuda Grass Briggs for the Park and Recreation Department to use at Stevens Park Golf Course located at 1005 North Montclair Avenue, not to exceed $65,000.
Ms. Grayson.
Move approval.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. This seems like it just keeps popping up. It hasn't been too many years ago. I know Cedar Crest, we had to do basically the same thing. Are they not adhering to the regimen of lawn care? Are they circumventing the actual care procedures? Then this is leading to a turf failure. What's going on, and why are we keep paying so much money? John, you're just the man that needs to answer that question.
All right, and I can answer that question. No, these two are not related, obviously, Callahan. Okay. Cedar Crest, they was dealing with more like what's called nematodes, and as well as like the gray water out there, and those greens were scheduled to be replaced anyway. They was already about they was in place for about 13 years, and so these two are not connected.
Is that a routine thing? Every so many years we
replace? Yeah, anywhere between 10 to 15 years, you should replace the greens.
Okay, so we have others that are forthcoming, maybe Grover Keaton. Is that next, or has that already been done over the years?
Yeah, we just have to check the schedule to see how long the greens have been in place.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, that, you know, because we've got emergency and an urgent matter.
Yeah.
You know, if this is routine, why is it emergent and urgent?
Yeah, in this case, what happened was, with those particular greens, a lot of factors involved here. Those greens are a little over 10 years old out at Stevens, and you hit the perfect storm that would just happen just now with all the rain, no sun, and normally you would have your maintenance plan that could recover the greens right away, but this was just a perfect storm, and the greens were old, and they just weren't recovering. And we did consult with experts throughout the industry, and they all agree with our maintenance plan. We had a good maintenance plan, and we have a good recovery plan.
So, and so this is per appropriated money. This is not bond money or anything.
It's no, this is
general operating budget.
No, this is where we're able to retain the revenues that goes into the Gulf Multi-Year Fund just for these type of situations that might come about to either replace greens or make improvements to the golf courses. And so this is money that's being retained from the general fund.
So this is something that we expect to see ever so often.
Oh, yes. Well, we need to replace the greens, but not where we get this perfect storm where if you don't replace them and you go out through the rest of the year, it's going to really hurt the play at Stevens as well as the reputation that's out at Stevens. And like I said, where the greens were just not recovering.
Yeah, well, they probably drowned with all the water.
So. Yes.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your morning agenda.
Before we leave, we have a birthday. It's Ms. McGew's. We've got a cake. I thought I saw a cake right behind you. So, thank you. Meeting's recessed. We'll meet back at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
Recessed at 12:09.
Council, if you'll grab your seats, we'll get started for the afternoon. It's 1:04 p.m. on May 22nd, 2019. I will reconvene the council agenda meeting, and we'll take up our public hearings and related actions for the afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano would like to be recognized on agenda item 60.
Mr. Medrano.
Thank you. I move to defer the zoning change until June 26, 2019.
You have a second?
Second.
The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your zoning consent agenda consisted of agenda items 53 through 62. Agenda item 55 is being pulled by Councilmember Narvaez. Agenda item 58 is being pulled by Councilmember McGew. Agenda item 59 is being pulled by Councilmember Arnold, and agenda item 60 was just previously deferred. Therefore, your zoning consent agenda consists of agenda items 53, 54, 56, 57, and 61 and 62. I'll read those items into the record. Agenda item 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU-1 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the east line of Chicago Street north of Duluth Street. Agenda item 54 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU-1 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the south line of Duluth Street at the terminus of Chicago Street. Agenda item 56 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU-1 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the south line of Duluth Street east of Chicago Street. Agenda item 57 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU-1 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the southwest corner of Southampton Road and Emmett Street. Agenda item 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an R-5A single-family district on property on the southeast line of Solar Lane east of Carbondale Street. And agenda item 62 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2111 for a body piercing studio and a tattoo studio on property on the north line of Main Street west of Exposition Avenue. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to any of these zoning consent items that were just read into the record? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. I'm sorry, Mr. Callahan.
On 62, I'll be opposed to that.
Well, are you going to vote against all of them?
No, just 62. So let me go ahead and pull that one out.
Okay. So you're going to have to read them all again.
I'll just restate the items on
That's
the zoning
what I'm
consent.
That's what I'm saying.
So your zoning consent agenda now consists of agenda items 53, 54, 56, 57, and 61.
Now we got it. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a MU-1 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the northwest corner of Duluth Street and Chicago Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation?
I'm sorry. Is that item 55?
Yes, item 55.
Mr. Narvaez is not here, so let's skip that item.
Okay, we'll come back to item 55. Agenda item 58 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Tract 2 within Plan Development District Number 286 north of Stoltz Road on the west line of Greenville Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 54 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 13 replies in favor and 2 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. McGue.
Thank you. I have a motion and then some comments. Okay. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change: general merchandise or food store less than 3,500 square feet and restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service are permitted uses in Tract 2.
Mr. McGue.
Thank you. We're excited to move this forward. This is the Forest Green Library, which is going to be a very exciting addition to our community. It's been one of the least serving and toughest libraries in the past, and this is a relocation, new site. We're excited to be moving it forward. The key points were to make sure that as a library use, we could have it 24/7 under the library use category. There was some question as to whether we should restrict the hours, but I've talked to staff and understand that you don't have to do that, so we have open hours there. And then just making sure we're trying to get more creative as we look at the library uses and moving into the next century of how we work with co-working space and coffee shops and this kind of thing as part of the library. So we're looking forward to those kind of innovative ideas in this project. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 59 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a plan development district for MF-2A multifamily district uses and a public school other than an open enrollment charter school on property on the west line of Bunnyview Road north of Morrell Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 275 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 13 replies in favor and 2 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the city's plan commission, subject to the revised development plan received today.
Thank you. We got a motion. Do we have a second? Is that a second? You got it. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Why don't we go back, and Mr. Murphy is here, to 55.
Agenda item 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a MU-1 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the northwest corner of Duluth Street and Chicago Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 32 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 7 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have a speaker coming forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Santos Martinez, 52 Cheerful Way, Angel Fire, New Mexico, 87710. Just to point out that we have a clarification to make on the deed restriction, the signature on this. We also need a death certificate for her husband. We weren't able to get that prior to this council hearing. And so that's the need for holding this case is to get that item clarified. Stand for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by City Plan Commission with the ordinance and deed restrictions to return at a later date.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 62. It's a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2111 for a body piercing studio and a tattoo studio on property on the north line of Main Street, west of Exposition Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 15 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 4 replies in favor and 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
The motion is second. Discussion, Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, no offense to the council member. I'm just philosophically opposed to both of these. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? One opposed. Thank you.
Agenda item 63 is a public hearing and one, an ordinance granting a planned development district for R-7.5A single-family district uses, private recreation center, club or area, and private street or alley uses, and two, an ordinance terminating specific use permit number 2166 for an adult daycare facility on property on the southwest corner of Samuel Boulevard and Honeycutt Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 128 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 13 replies in favor and 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? I have a speaker coming forward.
Mr. Mayor, Santos Martinez, 52 Cheerful Way, Angel Fire, New Mexico, 87710. This has been a long case to work on since it was submitted in December. We've had a number of community meetings and revisions on our plans and working with plan commissioners, staff, and community members to come up with the recommendation that was brought forward to you today. Support the plan commission's recommendations and stand for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I would like to offer an amendment that the fence along the southern perimeter be a solid wood fence. There was some scuttlebutt.
You're asking for a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Felder?
I'll accept that.
Okay. Thank you. Just a few comments, Mayor. Yeah, there was, some discussion along the way that it'd be a masonry fence, and I think there was some concern about root systems on the trees or so forth for trenching, so they decided to go with a wood fence. So apparently Janie Schultz, which was acting in the absence of a city plan commissioner, was in favor of that. I just want to make sure that the wood's treated and it's very professionally done. You know, a lot of our fences, particularly in the southern half, you know, there's they don't last very long, 8 or 10 years, and then there's really no mechanism to replace that fence. So, Santos, would you respond to that, please? Is there a sustainable plan, or could there be a sustainable plan?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. We've agreed and understand that working with the Enclave HOA to the south of us and putting up a nice, sturdy fence, and it, whether it would be treated or stained wood, is something we'd agree to do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Agenda item 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2007 for an attached projecting on-premise district activity video board sign on property on the northeast corner of Griffin Street and Elm Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 12 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have a speaker coming forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, ma'am. Curtis Cogburn. I'm with Outfront Media. We're located at 1201 Main Street, Dallas, Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Mr. City Manager, Madam Secretary, ladies and gentlemen of the council. Thank you first and foremost for your time and attention here today concerning the SUP renewal for the existing video boards, as mentioned earlier, on the Homewood Suites at the intersection of Griffin and Elm Street. We purchased all of our existing video boards in 2016, which included this one. This video board was originally installed in 2013, and this is its first renewal. As previously mentioned, with all of these video boards, we have been working with city representatives and community organizations in utilizing these structures as an asset for all involved stakeholders, especially including the City of Dallas. We are continuing in our efforts to upgrade these structures in order to allow us to complete a partnership with the City of Dallas First Responders to allow these structures to be used in times of emergencies for the city's use. This video board also represents a significant rental revenue for our landlord, Homewood Suites. The property owner is here today and can answer in further detail what this revenue actually means to him and his business. As mentioned before, these video boards add a vibrancy and connectivity within the CBD downtown areas that is part of the continued revitalization downtown Dallas is currently experiencing. The 360 plan also cites these specific types of structures with others as part of the overall mix of what it takes to compete with other major cities. In most other major markets, we are being asked for more technology and upgrades to increase interaction, and connectivity within the CBD areas, such as larger video structures with more capabilities, very comparable to the new AT&T video board as well. Again, we merely ask to continue operating this existing structure for another 6 years, and thank you again for your time and attention. Be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Move to deny.
A motion to deny and a second. Any discussion, Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I want to be advocating in favor of this. We've spent a lot of time discussing this particular measure, and obviously we received a support letter from DDI that they're in favor of this. Basically, you've got the staff and the City Plan Commission. They wholeheartedly endorse and support this, you know, for a renewal of 6 years. It gives an extra revenue stream, and I certainly think it offers vibrancy downtown to cover some of these vacant walls. And I think it's a very progressive measure. This is clearly happening throughout the country, and they want to get this renewal, and they want to upgrade the technology of these signs. And for all those reasons, that's the reason that I'm in favor of this motion. So I will be voting against the denial, and I will have another motion that we approve it. Thank you.
Mr. Atkins.
Can I get someone for staff?
I see staff did a recommendation for a CBC approve a 6-year period subject to condition. What was the condition?
The conditions have a time period, the 6-year time period, and then they just have to comply with what's in the code as far as when they turn it on, how bright it can be, when the message can change. Those are all requirements that our code has.
And that was a condition they meant?
Yes, sir.
Is this a new sign, an old sign, been there or what?
This one has been installed, and this is a renewal.
So it's been operating for how long?
6 years. Let's see if I know when it was. It was installed in probably 2014.
2014, and at 2014, they had a 2-year renewal or what? What happened?
It was 6 years.
It was 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
14. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am comfortable with these video signs. I think they've been fine in our downtown area, and so I will be voting against the motion to deny. Thank you.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes, I will continue to support these video boards, mainly because as we struggle in the city to reach out to our communities, I believe this is just another avenue for us to publish and interact with our community as it relates to how their tax dollars are being spent. So along with the video boards, we're going to keep pushing for the outreach through our local newspapers, through the social media. But I simply believe that if we're keeping up with the times and we're moving forward and we are talking about a smart city, then I believe this is the way we need to go. We need to incorporate this median into our practice. And I will support the use of this board. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a vote on the motion to deny.
Please start voting. 12 have voted. 13 have voted. 13 have voted. 14 have voted. 15 have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Kingston and Grayson. Voting against, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members McHugh, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Council Member Gates, Felder, Kleiman, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmember Narvaez, Callahan, Griggs, and Atkins. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. You said you had a motion.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I move that we take up the recommendation of staff and CPC and approve a 6-year period subject to conditions.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's take a record vote.
Start voting. 14 have voted. 14 have voted. 14 have voted.
How many have voted?
15 have voted.
There you go.
Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members McHugh, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Council Member Gates, Felder, Kleiman, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmember Narvaez, Callahan, Griggs, and Atkins. Voting against, Councilmembers Kingston and Grayson. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Agenda item 65 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MF-2A multifamily subdistrict on property on the southwest side of Cleveland Street, north of South Lamar Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 45 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and one in opposition.
We have 4 individuals who have registered to speak, after which we'll be open to the public for further comments. Those speakers are LaSheryl Walker. If I call your name, will you please come forward? LaSheryl Walker, Shirley Rhodes, Becky Madole, and Terry Flowers.
I don't see Mr. Flowers here.
We'll begin with LaSheryl Walker. Individuals will be given 3 minutes to speak. You may begin.
Good afternoon to the mayor, city secretary, and all the city council. My name is LaSheryl Walker. I'm the president of the St. Phillips Neighborhood Association. We want progress for the community. Neighbors were initially excited about this proposed development. The developer has attended our community meetings 3 times. It became clear in the first and second meetings that they had very few specifics to share about the project. On both occasions, the developer promised to follow up with answers to basic questions from residents. At our third and final community meeting on March the 28th, though it had been over 3 months since our last meeting, the developer brought the exact same renderings as before. He had said he was listening and would make design adjustments, including addressing the concerns about frontage on Cleveland, but had made no changes. The developer told neighbors that the units would sell for $345,000, but that the city subsidies units could sell for as low as $150,000. He promised to work with housing and economic development to make that possible. We've been waiting. He still has not submitted a complete application for incentives. This is puzzling to us. On our end, it has taken countless hours to hold him accountable. If the zoning changes get passed, a change which does not reflect our existing area plan, there is nothing to require him to come to the table. At this point, we need some accountability. Since the developer is unwilling to resubmit his application as a planned development, we thought the best route to ensure accountability was a private deed restriction. He's dragged his feet on this as well. We oppose this project unless there are private deed restrictions. We thought the developer was requesting a delay for today. We are okay with the delay until June 12th or denial. Thank you.
Shirley Rhodes.
Good afternoon. I'm Shirley Rhodes, and I'm...
Can you just bring the mic down kind of close to your mouth? Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Shirley Rhodes, and I am a senior with who works in the St. Phillips neighborhood. We have spent a lot of time trying to get answers about this project. We've had several community meetings with the hope that at least some of these units would be affordable that I could afford to live in. Since we still have no assurance this will happen, I stand opposed to the development of this 3621 Cleveland. Thank you.
Becky Madole.
Good afternoon. My name is Becky Madole, and I'm here representing St. Phillips School and Community Center and Dr. Terry Flowers, who is currently caught up at end of year award ceremony with children. The project on 3621 Cleveland is located 0.2 miles from St. Phillips' main campus and steps away from elder-friendly housing development where many of the senior citizens St. Phillips serve reside. St. Phillips and residents support development and investment in the neighborhood, absolutely. But at the same time, follow-through is important, and over the course of the last several months, we've been waiting for indication from the developer that he's following through with his commitment to the community. The two primary commitments he made were updating rendering so that the frontage-based Cleveland, which is near the senior living community, and then submitting an application to either economic development or housing for the project so that at least some of the 19 proposed townhomes could be affordable. The developer has done neither of those things, and it's one thing to come to a community meeting, it's another thing to follow through with feedback. Because the proposed development is also not consistent with our area plan, which was done with DeMombro and Associates in 2003, which has housing facing Cleveland and parking facing Lamar, and because we saw no evidence of the developer following through on his commitments he made to the community, we at first asked him to resubmit his application as a planned development to ensure some level of accountability, and he indicated he was unwilling to do so. So as a compromise, we decided to pursue private deed restrictions, and so the St. Phillips Neighborhood Association, LaCheryl, engaged an attorney, and we have spent time working through these issues, and we still don't have them signed. We oppose this project unless there are private deed restrictions and are working towards that. We thought the developer was going to ask for a delay today so that, according to him, we could finish up a few outstanding issues. And so we are okay with either a delay until June 12th. We would not like this to carry over into a new administration. We've been at this for months and months now. Or a denial. Thank you.
Terry Flowers is not present. Are there any other speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? You may come forward.
Good afternoon. My name is Lottie Clark. I'm a St. Philip senior. I live in the community for the last 5.5 years, and I stand with St. Philip's, and we're opposed to what the developer is trying to develop on in our neighborhood, and we're just opposed to it.
Thank you. Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
Motion to deny.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? You want to say something or not?
Yes. Colleagues, I've been working with this developer for over a year, and I've tried a lot to work with this guy, and the community has tried as well. We've tried together, and he steadfastly refuses to do what the community has asked him to do. On multiple occasions, he's promised what he would do and not show up, not make application to housing nor economic development. I checked with David and Courtney today, and he still hasn't done it. So, you know, the community is not happy with him. I'm not happy with him. You have to work with the community that you want to put your development in, and they're making it loud and clear what has happened here. And so I'm asking the council to respect the community and respect my decision on this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I guess I would just like to ask Mr. Felder if he'd accept a friendly amendment to do a denial without prejudice so that if the developer sorted it out with the community, he can come back sooner. But I won't press you on that issue if you just want to deny it.
I think we just leave it. Motion to deny.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 66 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an open enrollment charter school use on property on the northwest side of Dixon Avenue at the terminus of Wetchlager Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 22 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
I move to deny this item without prejudice.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, this to me is a zoning issue, and we've got staff and CPC. They are motioning to approve for 5 years, and this keeps happening, you know, with charter schools. It seems like over and over and over. Now, this is really a state issue. If you don't like charter schools, write your state representative or your state senator. But these are zoning issues. And, again, if staff and CPC are for it, it's been deferred once, and I really candidly just think it's political grandstanding, you know. And it's, again, up or down vote on the zoning issue, but it has nothing to do with your philosophy on charter schools.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Yes, just to just add, I know this is in District 7, but I did want to add comments to Councilman Callahan's statement. What I see when it comes to SUPs and the whole imagery that we're giving to the community is that the city is actually in the business of building schools to compete with the public schools. And so my constituents keep asking that we push away from the SUPs in the communities. And so I think it's a community by community issue. And I know in my community, I've been asked and implored not to keep pushing the charter schools in the communities where you are definitely impacting the public school. So I will support whatever the goal is of this community, but I did want to put that in there, is that we're getting a lot of backlash for competing with public schools. It's kind of like right in your face. So I did want to add that just piece to you. And I know this is in District 7, but I did want to bring conversation from District 4. Thank you, since we're so close. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will not be supporting the motion for denial. I believe very strongly that we need to provide educational opportunities for all students, regardless of whether they're public, which a charter school is, or private or otherwise. We just need to make these opportunities. And in particular, Texas Can Academy, I'm going to have a personal experience there with my nephew who could not get through high school, and Texas Can saved him. And these are, you know, this is a good use, and I support this and any educational opportunities in any of our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Felder spoken. Mr. Callahan.
I did.
You spoke. Comments. Yeah. Mr. Kingston's up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We need to get down to the legal issue here. Specific use permits are to be the exception, not the rule. In our code, it says this body shall not grant a specific use permit except on the finding of four factors, two of which are compatibility with surrounding uses and overall support for the health and welfare of the city. It is perfectly acceptable, it is within our police power to take care of the educational needs of the children of the city of Dallas. That is an acceptable public policy goal. The state legislature considered whether to take that power away from us this session and opted not to. And the issue here is that Dallas Independent School District is doing so many things right. So many things right. It is so much better than it was when I moved to this city, and their efforts need to be supported and applauded. The single biggest financial threat to the district, and they just raised your taxes stratospherically, is loss of enrollment. Loss of enrollment is the reason we are in recapture, and loss of enrollment is down to the 38,000 children who are currently being educated in charter schools in Dallas. It is not healthy for the system. It is actively harming the system that we are seeking to promote and that we have a public policy interest in promoting. So the idea that this is a land use matter that has nothing to do with anything else is a failure to understand basic land use law. We are to prohibit over-proliferation of uses that harm the community, same as we do with bars in certain districts, the same as we would do with harmful industrial uses that have plagued many parts of our city. This is basic land use 101. This is the use of the police power of the city to protect the educational system that is there to benefit our children. So I just wanted to make crystal clear that I think it is actually legally impermissible to grant this SUP in the situation that Dallas faces now. And we are evaluating this on a case-by-case basis. We're looking at this specific community, and it is this community that does not need this use next to it. That is exactly how you do land use. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Felder, was there opposition, neighborhood opposition to this? I couldn't, from the replies that were sent last night, I didn't see any opposition.
I'm going to get to that whenever my turn comes back up. I'll explain exactly why we're doing this.
Well, that would be my question. So why are you not granting the SUP?
Well, I'm going to explain it when my turn comes up.
Okay. Your turn's up. Why don't you just answer?
Neva. Contrary to popular belief, this is not a, even though I do have the authority to do so, to make this motion, but the applicant decided to pull out. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. The applicant asked to withdraw this case, but because it was before this body, they could not withdraw it. So Mr. Felder is denying without prejudice, so that is something. Yes, sir.
So that's the reason why we're pulling it, because the applicant doesn't want to go forward.
Well, we just stay at the beginning. We don't have to argue. Okay. Do you want to talk, Mr. Callahan?
I mean, clearly I would have liked to have known that, you know, before I began to advocate. But obviously that's a surprise. But I still think it bears some other further discussion on the subject, whether or not they pulled it, just in general, philosophically, from the charter school. Just so you know, many of these DISD schools were severely overcrowded in the southern sector. And before charter schools, could I have everyone's undivided attention? Before charter schools, we had many of my schools in Pleasant Grove had 20 or 30, you know, these portable buildings out front. We were starting lunch at 10:30 in the morning and concluding lunch at 1:30 in the afternoon. You're talking about abuse. It's just incredible the kind of stuff that was gone on. This has also been a great opportunity for repurposing buildings that sat vacant, you know, churches and also retail spaces. So you've seen that. And many times in these charter schools, they're the last bastion of educational opportunity for these kids. Some of them come in from all places, Central and Mexico, Central America. They come in, they're 8, 10, 12 years old, and English is a challenge. And these charter schools have been able to pick them up with a lower student-teacher ratio and take them where they are when they were really failing in school and probably going to be end up being an early dropout because they weren't getting the nurturing and the support they needed. And charter schools, you know, they've gotten, in many cases, a bad rap because they've picked these kids up and they've nurtured them and they've helped them. So, again, it comes back, this is really a zoning issue that comes before us, irrespective of the pulling. But the fact is, if staff and CPC, they, in their great wisdom, they decided to support it. And there was a clearly, apparently not much neighborhood opposition because I think had there been the opposition, we would have known about it, CPC would have known about it, and there would have been some discussion about it. But thank you, finally, to get that information. But going forward, I hope you'll remember the comments I made about why these charter schools in many cases have shown up because of DISD's past failures. Granted, as Mr. Kingston said, they're doing so much better. There's no doubt about it. I've got recognized schools now in my district. These kids are graduating at a higher rate, and they're beginning to get it, and they're going to some great colleges and all this stuff because they're prepared. But there is still a need for this footprint called charter school, and also we even got First Baptist Academy. We have Cristo Rey. These are good opportunities for these kids. This has made Pleasant Grove a better place. So I hope you just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when you hear that term charter school, because in all cases they're not bad. Let's look at a case-by-case basis. But more so, let's look at the fact that these are zoning issues. They're not about our philosophy. Go to your state legislature, you know, if you want to make those changes.
Mr. Narva has not spoken yet on this issue that I guess is not debatable. But
you know, Mr. Mayor, I absolutely agree with you. We already know we need to just deny this. Applicant doesn't even want it. But I have to defend DISD, RISD, Irving ISD, Capel ISD. When we hear a colleague saying that they cannot help immigrant students that come to the city of Dallas and don't know English. Many valedictorians at many high schools that are graduating now and in the past have been second English language learners. They have been able to do a successful and fantastic job. We heard a colleague say not to use your philosophical idea. However, on a previous motion, absolutely said my philosophical idea against that item is why I'm voting against it, not in offense to the other council members. So I just want to make sure that we know as a council, or as me as a council, that I will stand up and defend public schools. DISD has done a darn good job. Pinkston High School, all the middle school, Edison, as well as our elementary schools in West Dallas, and the residents of West Dallas are firm believers in DISD and Irving ISD, and I just want to make sure that gets on the record, because to hear that DISD is failing, we need to quit saying that or mentioning that at any time in this council, because DISD is doing a fantastic job and has really changed. And when I got here in 1998, I could agree with those comments, but here in 2019, DISD is doing a darn good job that a lot of other districts are starting to want to emulate, not just in the state of Texas, but across the entire United States. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Closing comments?
Closing comments would be on the SUP and the process. I think as we move forward, it is very important that we look at the criteria for granting an institution and that we check the boxes off. What I have seen in the last couple of years is that we start in many of the southern sector in District 4 schools where we have a saturation of schools. We have problems with traffic management and the site plan. And we don't want to continue putting extra burdens on the police officers in particular, because most of the time there is no plan for traffic management other than the Dallas Police Department. And that is totally unfair, I believe, as we move forward and knowing what we have to do in terms of public safety. So I just wanted to just chime in on the actual standards of the SUP, that we check the boxes and make sure that we are focusing on the needs and the desires of that community. And right now, as I see it, my message is to continue to fight for the community and not put charter schools into those communities that are not meeting the criteria of an SUP. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 67 is a public hearing regarding consideration of amendments to Section 51A-7.930, super graphic signs, of the Dallas Development Code within the Downtown Special Provision Sign District on property in the area generally bounded by Woodall Rogers Freeway, St. Paul Street, and Ross Avenue to the north, Interstate 45, U.S. 75, Harwood Street, Park Avenue, and St. Paul Street to the east, Commerce Street, Wood Street, Young Street, and Interstate 30, R.L. Thornton, to the south, and Interstate 35, Stemmons Freeway, to the west, save and except that area comprised of the West End Historic Sign District, and an ordinance granting the amendments.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 1,042 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 26 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have a speaker coming forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Erin Watkins. I'm with Big and Radiant Outdoor. We're at 1528 Slocum Street, Dallas, Texas. First of all, I just want to thank everyone for your time today, this afternoon. I just want to echo let y'all know about our support we are very supportive of the ordinance as presented on the agenda and as has been approved by CPC and Quality of Life. We appreciate everyone's hard work on putting this ordinance together, and we hope that the council will approve. I'm available for questions if anyone has any. Thank you.
Any other speakers in favor?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I'm Curtis Cogburn with Outfront Media, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. We thank you, first and foremost, for your time and attention addressing the super graphic sunset ordinance extension. We strongly support the city staff, the planning commission's recommendations, as well as the recommendations from Councilwoman Grayson's Quality of Life Committee. We strongly oppose expanding the limit from the current of 22. We know everyone has worked very hard. We've worked with the city staff and everyone else, and we appreciate very much the work that you all have put in. And again, we support the ordinance before you today. Happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Next speaker in favor.
Good afternoon. Courtney Garrett representing Downtown Dallas, Inc. at 901 Main Street, 75202. As the organization that worked with the City of Dallas to create the Super Graphics program in 2001, then expand it under the recommendations of the 360 plan in 2011, we are supportive of the proposed extension until 2027. Super Graphics have been a tool to enhance the environment in downtown, often bringing visual interest to otherwise blank or dark walls. These installations are often important economic contributors to challenging development projects. In addition to the extension until 2027, we are also specifically supportive of the ability to place super graphics on historic buildings so long as they adhere to the restrictions that's in the proposed ordinance in front of you, extending the amount of time each installation is allowed to be placed on a building to 6 months. And in terms of the number of signs, we're supportive of a range between the current number of 22 up to no more than 26, which was the SSDAC recommendation. Thank you for your consideration and support of downtown.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the code amendment 1, allowing supergraphic signs to be located on blank party walls on historic structures. 2, increasing the display duration of supergraphic signs from 4 months to 6 months. 3, extending the sunset date of the supergraphic signs program in the downtown special provision sign district to August 31st, 2027, as recommended by City Plan Commission, and 4, prohibiting internal illumination of supergraphic signs as recommended by the Quality of Life Arts and Culture Committee.
Second. Thank you. Motion second. Discussion, Ms. Grayson?
No.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 68 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas Thoroughfare Plan. 1, delete St. Paul Street from Interstate Highway 30, IH-30, to Irve Street. And 2, change the dimensional classification of Irve Street from IH-30 to St. Paul Street, Bellevue Street, from an existing couplet to a special two-lane undivided roadway with bicycle facilities and 60 feet of right-of-way. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Yay, bike lanes.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 69 is a public hearing to receive comments on 1, the proposed FY 2019-20 HUD consolidated plan budget for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant funds, and 2, the new 5-year consolidated plan covering the period of FY 2019-20 through FY 2023-24. We do have one individual who has registered to speak on the item, Angelica Portillo. Be given 3 minutes to speak.
Great. If I have handouts.
Yeah, just get, he'll take them. Thank you.
Hello, Angelica Portillo. My address is 6808 Skillman Street, Dallas, Texas, 75231. I'm here representing Dallas After School. Thank you for your time today. For those of you who do not know me yet, again, my name is Angelica, and I am originally from East Dallas, born and raised. After I graduated college, I made it a point to come back and live and work in the city of Dallas. And a personal mission of mine has always been to give back to the communities that have invested in me and made me who I am today. And after-school programming has had a huge impact on my life choices and career choices. I've been in the out-of-school time field now for 6 or 7 years, and I've had the privilege to see the impact that these programs have on the families and the children that they serve. Out-of-school time programs benefit elementary and middle school children and their families as a whole. These programs enable parents and guardians to work, knowing that their children are well cared for. These programs keep children safe between the hours of 3 and 6 p.m. when parents, frankly, have to work till 5, 6, or 7. These programs also address food insecurity. In 2007 in Dallas County, we after-school programs served over 3 million free meals. And these programs provide the academic support that we're all familiar with, after homework help, tutoring services. But most importantly, these after-school programs provide children with experiences that they're not having during the school day. It gets them out to meeting new people and building those social-emotional learning skills that we talked about earlier today with Big Thought. Research shows that in middle school, these children are deciding whether or not they're going to graduate high school, if they'll even go to college. And for these reasons, out-of-school time programs are a key support for families and children. The Community Development Block Grant plays a huge role in this place. Through Dallas Park and Rec, the program supports 3,000 students. However, there are still 40,000 students for families that want to participate in these programs but can't because of the lack of availability. Because funds are limited, it's crucial that we focus them on programs that are proven to address poverty, and after-school and summer programs do just that. So I'm here today to support the recommendation from the CDC for $300K to be allocated to youth services. And I have provided you all with a policy brief that goes into more details on the benefits of after-school and summer programming, because this is just a high level of all the great things that they do. Thank you. Oh, wait, since I have more time, the Richardson ISD comments that were made earlier, every elementary school on the Richardson ISD in Richardson ISD has an after-school program. They're fee-based, and they might be at capacity. That's probably why you get comments on them in Richardson ISD, but they all have one. Every campus on DISD does not have an after-school program. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
I'd move to close the public hearing.
Second. Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I just want to advocate for this. I think it's great, and I really think, Angelica, you're a bright lad, and it's really been great working with you in our Pleasant Grove Elementary School, and she is very well seen and heard all through Pleasant Grove. It's so many different things that we're involved in, so thanks for your support.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
This concludes your voting agenda. We'll move now to your open microphone speakers. We do have one registered afternoon open microphone speaker, Deborah Moore. Deborah Moore, you may come forward. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Rollins only. You may begin.
The property taxes in Dallas and West Dallas and Oak Cliff have went up. The builders are building big $200,000 and $300,000 homes in our neighborhood, low-income areas, making our taxes go up. It said $10 a square foot. For each property in West Dallas. Did the builders know that the land they are building all the big homes priced over and apartments on Singleton, Hamilton, 4th Avenue are overpriced? They're not affordable for the people. They're pushing us out of our neighborhood. I believe for the taxes, of sales taxes, everybody should be able to help with the school taxes by going up on the taxes on property. I mean, taxes on buying, you know, like when you're buying stuff. Everybody should share that expense because more people live in apartments than they do homes, so the burden shouldn't be on just the home builders. I mean, the homeowners. The burden should be on everybody, not just the homeowners, because it's really hurting me. I'm recovering from breast cancer. I live in West Dallas, and a lot of people in West Dallas have all kind of skin problems, lung cancer, breast cancer, you name it, we got it. But they putting all these $200,000 to $300,000 big homes in our neighborhood, making our taxes go up. Our homes are not even worth what they charging us for the taxes. And another subject I have, people parking their cars and trucks overnight don't live on that street. They should be given a 24-hour ticket. And homeowners that have trees going over into your yard, they need to maintain their own trees. They need to be a new code. The homeowners that have big trees going in your yard, because I'm having that problem too. So I got a long time to talk. Ooh. Okay. So I was trying to go for that. I, Deborah Moore, is recovering from breast cancer, and many people's skin cancer problem, lung, breast cancer. How can the builders build these big homes overcharged for the homes in West Dallas and Oak Cliff? We don't even make that much money. You know, they got us paying high taxes. I went to the Dallas appraisal and they said $10 a square feet for the property in West Dallas. That property's not even worth that. They have we still got lead that have never been cleaned up in West Dallas. But they put these big old homes out there charging. You got a house over here worth $30,000. They done went up to $90,000. I don't know. I got so much to say. Anyway, I'm just asking y'all if y'all would do a code for people that park their car in front of your property, that don't live on that street, overnight in 2 and 3 days to ticket them. And if you got trees growing on other people's property, I think it needs to be something to happen for they have to pay to cut the trees down. I'm recovering from breast cancer. My mommy had a stroke, and we're having a hard time on my street. So I need to see if they could do a code for that, over trees growing, and be cut off. They cut the people that own the tree need to cut them off.
Very articulate. Thank you.
Okay. This concludes your speakers, Mr.
Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Moore, thank you for coming down, and thank you for sharing your story, and congratulations on your recovery for breast cancer. If you'll just wait over here, myself and my staff will be coming out to talk to you.
Ms. McGue.
So I just heard this earlier, and I'm not 100% sure if it's true. But if it is, I just want to say thank you for your service to this body.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned at 2 p.m. Thank you.